much about.
You gotta put it in
perspective. Hello there. We've been waiting for you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So, Pluto's not a planet anymore. What's up with that?
So that happened.
You like music? Well, to tell you the truth, I can take it or leave it.
The band has had a few different names over the years. We started, we were Teddy Bear Suicide, but then we changed it to Mouse Rat. Then we were God Hates Figs, Department of Homeland Obscurity, Flames for Flames, Muscle Confusion, Nothing Rhymes with Orange, then Everything Rhymes with Orange, Punch Face Champions, Rad Wagon, Puppy Pendulum, Possum Pendulum, Penis Pendulum, Handrail Suicide, Angel Snack, Just the Tip, Three Skin, Jet Black Pope. We went back to Mouse Rat, and now we are Scarecrow Boat. When I hear myself say Scarecrow Boat out loud, I kind of hate it.
Terrible name. Very weak, weak. It implies a weak will. Have you considered changing it?
And now.
Being terrible has never prevented success in the music business. Look at Biz Markie or The Doors.
Our feature presentation.
That's a good point.
Well, it's hard to argue that.
Biz Markie is terrible. Or was. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, back from a long weekend.
It's first of Poon, too, by the way. And we got our very first for the new month, Kevin and Bean, What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to get on the air. And it's a new week. It's a new month. Who knows? Maybe it's a fantastic prize. Unlikely, but it could be. So you call now and we'll talk. Lisa May, you don't know what you're... First of all, hi, Lisa.
Hi. How are you, Bean?
You don't know what you're missing by not being a sports fan.
Okay.
Wow, you sound worried.
I'm just saying, a weekend like this one with so many great basketball games, so many great hockey games, so many great baseball games.
I was looking around at Phil Baseball.
Wow, there was some awesome stuff. A perfect game, for instance, on Saturday, Kevin. You don't see that very often.
Kevin doesn't see it ever.
No, I saw that because I saw it on SportsCenter.
Right.
That's the way to watch baseball.
Right.
First season with two perfect games since 1880. To tell you how rare that is. So, crazy. And the greatest story of all of them, of all of the many events and the hundreds of players that were involved in the games that came down to the final seconds, the greatest story of the whole weekend was, and it's sad to say, it was my Seattle Mariners who were on the receiving end of this loss, but a Grand Slam walk-off home run for the Anaheim Angels over the weekend, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, Kendry Morales, first baseman for the Angels. So it's a pitcher's duel. It's 1-0 in the, it's 0-0 in the, or 1-1, I can't remember, in the 10th inning.
Oh my.
He gets up and blows
God.
It wide open with a grand slam, runs around the bases, steps on home plate, dugout empties, all the Angels come and jump on top of him. They break his leg.
Out for the season.
Oh.
Out for the season.
You're kidding.
Break his leg.
Oh, how awesome is that?
It's June 1st. He's done.
He's done.
Wow. Celebrating a grand slam?
Yeah. Yep.
How did they break his leg?
They
pulled him down to the ground?
No,
and he...
you watch it over and over again. I think what happened was he did the where he jumps up to celebrate and then land on home plate. But there's a crowd of dudes there. So I think in the while he's coming down from that jump, he must have got... his movement must have been knocked to the side just a little bit, and he landed awkward.
Oh,
and
it
broke his leg.
God.
That's so
painful.
Awesome.
Painful video to watch. So I didn't hear how it turned out. He was supposed to have surgery yesterday, and they say, he's going to be out for the season.
That's so funny because there was a leadoff home run in another game. I was watching SportsCenter, and they made some comment about not celebrating when he gets to home plate.
Yes,
I'm like, I don't even understand that.
Day later, the Angels had another huge game,
maybe that was it.
Late inning home run, and it looked like the guy who hit it was made of glass because they were standing about 4 feet away, patting him on the back.
they were reaching over the plate to shake his hand. Basically, is all they were doing. Yeah, that was the second walk off in a row against the Mariners. By the way, so it was a tough weekend to be a Mariners fan.
Wow.
I don't mind telling you that. But how hilarious is that about Kendry Morales? I mean, no one will ever forget that. And I think I heard a reference to this over the weekend. I think there was a field goal kicker in the NFL a few years ago who was celebrating after kicking a big field goal, and he ended up breaking something.
It was one of the Gramatica brothers.
That's right.
I believe
it was
Martin. I believe Martin. Yeah. That one's even worse because there's no one around him. He jumps up.
He jumps himself.
He jumps up. And it was like a middle of the game, unimportant field goal. That's why it was so funny. He's like, all right, I'm rad.
Yeah, when he lands, he didn't win the Super Bowl or anything. It was just, I think it was like the first score of the game or something even worse, or at least early in the game. But hilarious. I mean, talk about, and Kevin, we always talk about how you go from way, way, way up here to way, way, way down here in the matter of, I mean, for about 20 seconds, Kendry Morales was the man running around those bases so happy, gets to home plate, the love and adoration of a sold out stadium and all of his teammates right there. Next thing you know, on a stretcher on his way to the hospital.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
It is. That's a
what are the chances of that? You know what I mean? Like coming down at the exact angle. I mean, they swarm the player every single time that situation happens.
Well, they used to.
Wow.
Baseball has changed forever.
That's so great. I mean, in a bad way. It's great.
It's badly great.
He must have thought, that really hurts, but I don't know what must have been going through his head. No way.
No, I think it hurt a lot. I think it took all the fun right out of his celebration. And I imagine he had all these guys on top of him. Mike, you know what that's like, certainly.
Sure.
And he must have been thinking, hey, stop. Stop. Not fun anymore. Not celebrating anymore. Dying here.
That's rough.
It was just weird to see all the people who, you know, should have been leaving the stadium, who were just sitting there in the stands, just with the, you know, slack-jawed, watching to see if he was going to, you know, what was going to happen with him.
But, oh, my God.
Good news, bad news. So, anyway.
Brief good news, long bad news.
Exactly.
Not the way you want to go. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You can call right now on any topic, and you should. Here's your prize, a $25 Journeys gift card. Journeys Westminster and South Coast Plaza. Tell me what Journeys is again. I've never heard of it except for when we give this away.
I think it's like a clothing shoe store.
Sure.
Oh, so mainly shoes.
$25 is great then.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with Douglas. He's on line 2. I think he's continuing the conversation. Hey, Doug, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show. What's going on?
Hey there, how you guys doing? Good. Yeah, I was at the game with my kids when Kendry Morales hit that home run. And it was an amazing thing to watch. And during the hoopla, nobody really was paying attention to the celebration. And probably about 40 seconds later, we noticed that all the players stopped jumping. And you know, that kind of put a fear in us. We're like, what happened? What's going on? And we were sitting over the tunnel, and we see the cart come out with a stretcher, and we're like, this isn't going to be good. This can't be good. And, you know, it gets over there, and we see them taking out the backboard, and, you know, we're sitting there waiting to, you know, the half the stadium was still there.
So you couldn't tell who was hurt yet or anything?
All we saw was just a pile of people. We were hoping it was Brian Fuentes, actually. Because, uh-huh. You know, he can't close the game to save his life. But, no, we were sitting there just watching. Finally, a couple of the announcers came over saying that, you know, one of them's hurt. They didn't know who. We didn't know he broke his leg. We thought maybe he twisted his ankle.
Of course. Who would think he would break his leg?
Oh, you know, his first walk-off home run, and then, you know.
And by the way, this isn't like some sports injuries that we've heard about where a guy hurts himself in a stupid way. This isn't really his fault. It was just a fluke.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
He did the same thing I would have done, or you would have done, or anyone would have done going around, which is, you know, jump up in the air and be part of the party. You know, you can't really blame him for it. It was just a bad turn of events.
Well, what I heard through the grapevine as they were leaving is when they were waiting for him to touch home plate, they kind of all shifted to make room for him, and he didn't anticipate the shift, which is why he came down crooked on his leg.
Okay.
He didn't know where to land, and that pretty much, you know.
Was there one fat player that really should be blamed?
I don't know about that. Yeah. You know, but yeah, we've been to pretty much all the games this season, and
A bummer.
It was it was awesome to see. And then, you know, kind of just changed it.
And then not so much, yeah. Hey, at least it happened to the Angels where there were lots of people still in the stands to watch it. If that had been the end of the Dodger game, nobody would have been there to see it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call. Okay. Appreciate it, dude.
Bye.
Let's try Brian. He's on line 3 calling the Kevin Devine Show. Hey, Brian. Thanks for checking in. What'd it do?
What'd it do, guys? What's up, Lisa May?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
So over the weekend, going to my buddy's wedding, and you guys just reminded me with this whole story right now. My buddy's going in for the garter toss, and so the idea is for him to, for some reason, to come sliding in like a penguin or something on his stomach for about 10, 15 feet, land right at her, you know, where the chair is, you know, go onto the dress, get the garter. So he goes and he slams.
Wait, this is the groom that's going to do a head first dive?
The groom in his wedding, yeah. The groom is sliding towards his bride.
Okay.
At the reception.
Good choice.
Sliding towards the chair, slams into the chair, dislocates his shoulder.
Oh.
All hell is breaking loose. You know, his best man, and by this time people are really drunk. And I guess it's happened to him before. His best man comes over, starts mashing on his shoulder to try to get his shoulder back in. He's screaming in pain. They call the ambulance, and needless to say, the rest of the night, the bride and groom are waiting outside for the ambulance to come.
Oh, God.
It was just a drunken mess after that.
That's great.
See, this is why you don't get married. This is what I've been telling you people.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same thing with the baseball game. You know, they're sitting there trying to...
Top of the mountaintop. And then
exactly. Yeah, hilarious.
Bottom of the valley.
Unbelievable.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate the call. One more. Ruse is on line 5. One sporting event I forgot to mention over the weekend that was also big. Hey, Ruse, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. What a do?
What a do?
Hey, what a disaster, man. I know all your fans are calling in about baseball, Lakers, this and that. What everybody seems to forget is on Saturday night, that Rampage Rashad fight was all hyped up, and it turned out to be the biggest disaster I've ever seen, a 3-round boring decision.
Well, it was pretty boring, yeah. I mean, there was a second there where you thought that Rampage was going to win, where he caught Rashad and was jumping on top of him, and it was just a flurry, and you thought, maybe this is it. Maybe he's actually going to destroy him, but it was pretty boring.
I wouldn't call it a disaster.
No. But
yeah, to me, it was a disaster. Born and raised in Orange County, and I'm a big Rampage fan. He fights out of Irvine.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're a Rampage fan, he didn't do great.
Yeah, well, the whole fight wasn't... In the third round, he got that one punch that almost laid Rashad out, and we were like 10, 15 friends screaming up and down. And then he just didn't step on the gas. He just kind of let off the gas.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. But tell me you saw Fatty Fat Fat earlier in the round.
Was that not one of the most unbelievable things you've ever seen in sports?
Did you see that virus?
Horse legs is smashing this guy.
The guy who had a big belly who knocked that guy out.
That guy, Lisa. There was a fighter who's literally fat, like he's got a hangover gut.
Really? Is that fat?
Yes.
Listen to me, but he's fighting a centaur. I mean, this guy looked like a joke, the buffest dude you've ever seen, and he's just smashing this fat guy. I mean, crushing him for 2 straight rounds, pure dominance.
And I kept thinking every punch that he would hit him with is right, as they say, on the button and was strong. And it didn't seem to phase Fatty.
All Rogan and Mike Goldberg kept saying was, it's amazing this guy's resiliency. He's got a great chin, but he's not showing much as far as fighting.
Nothing.
And then they're talking about the next fight for this buff guy, what's going to happen. And out of the blue, Fatty just drops the big guy.
You're
out of the blue.
Kidding.
One punch. Rogan said it was the biggest comeback one punch ever in the history of the UFC. It was crazy.
It mounted the fight as a UFC commentator. That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Because Fatty didn't have a prayer from the first second. It was like the pros were playing like the Little League or something. He didn't have
Joe Rogan has one of those comments almost every single fight. It's the biggest fight he's ever seen.
Yeah, but really, wasn't that the biggest surprise? Did you see it?
I saw it, actually. I didn't think the guy was knocked out when he first hit him, but then when his head slammed off the canvas, he was out.
It wasn't much of a punch. It looked to me like the guy was just so tired he fell over. But it was
hilarious.
A shock. It was something. I was like, go Fatty. Yeah.
For fat people everywhere.
Sweet. I was so out of shape. The other guy's like Mr. America. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Is there a word that means more than yes?
No, there isn't. We're going to talk to Ben Steinbauer, who has put together a documentary that we have not seen yet, but we just found out about, called The Winnebago Man.
This sounds great.
And this is about the viral video that we played, we were playing it for you last week, where the guy starts cussing and he loses track of what he's saying.
He's trying to do a Winnebago commercial.
Yeah, and he's not...
The Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the... I'm reading.
So that guy apparently is the angriest endorser ever, and they're doing a movie about him, so we have to find out more.
I can't wait to see this movie.
I can't either.
It sounds great.
I can't either. It's going to be my favorite thing. We have Sal Masekela in the studio.
All right.
He's going to South Africa for ESPN for 2 different reasons. One is a series on, what is it, Bean? Is it family?
It's about South Africa.
About South Africa, okay.
Yeah.
And that's where
his family's from, too, yeah.
And also the World Cup, so we're going to talk to him. We have a rousing rendition of Would You Like to Take That Back?
Okay.
We have Matt Money Smith talking about the NBA Finals. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ. You tried to pass yourself off as a celebrity.
Yeah.
I can't wait for to talk to this woman. She's great. She swears she met Bono at a Renaissance fair. And that he's lying about getting the back surgery.
Yeah.
She was furious when we had the Edge on last week. And the Edge was talking about how Bono had just had surgery. It was, you know, in Germany and recovering and everything like that. She's like, why are they lying? So I can't wait to.
Well, she sent a photo and Rampage Jackson looks more like Bono than this guy does. I don't know what she's thinking. Internet roundup today. And we've got your tickets for the Reenie Roast and backstage passes.
Nice.
You're going to have to earn them, though. We'll play a game this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Ralph Showbiz Beat is next.
I am looking at pictures on KevinandBean.com of Olivia Garman outside of the hospital,
in a house,
on a couch with people.
How about that?
Wearing
Batman attire or no?
Not yet.
All right.
Not yet.
Wearing Eagles attire or not?
I have a photo of her wearing her I Was Born a Flyers Fan onesie, if you'd like a photo
of
that.
Sure. How was your first weekend with Olivia home, Ralph?
Boring!
Really? Kids are not as exciting as you were led to believe?
Oh, hey, look, she ate again. Hey, look, she pooped again. Hey, look, she's sleeping. Boring! Oh, and she is such a baby. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, my diaper is changing. Wah, wah, wah. Stop being such a baby.
Baby.
You got to teach him. That's why you're there.
Cheese and crackers.
You got to teach him.
You had this vision of being outside, like, throwing frisbee with your kid.
Come on. Do something.
Well, I think it takes a while to get to that point.
Whatever.
Anyway, congratulations, though. For folks who have heard so much about the OG over the past few months, now you get a chance to see some pictures. Go to KevinandBean.com. They are just posted, and it's a beautiful, beautiful family shot right there.
Yeah, the one me passed down the couch, especially. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm sure. Long days. Long days watching your wife do all that work with the kid, right?
How dare you? I am quite the hands-on father. I made a point when we decided to have kids. I said, I am going to be the guy who's in there, in the trenches, elbow deep in that that toxic, that mustard colored toxic waste.
Would you like to reconsider
baby
that?
Poop? No, it's good. I'm actually having fun.
All right, good.
Yeah. I'll see how you feel in a month.
Actually, it's not boring at all because it's constant. You become just a watchdog. You just have to constantly monitor this child at all times. It's kind of hard to fit anything else in, considering how little you're actually doing, because a lot of it's just staring and watching.
Right. Yeah.
But you're just, especially with Olivia, and I haven't been in the hospital for so long, we're just so scared to death still that you just want to make sure she's breathing. Is she breathing? Let me put my ear next to her mouth. Oh, yeah, okay, she's breathing. Okay, good. That's good. So it's a little draining, but we're having the time of our lives. So thanks again to everyone who keeps writing in and asking for updates. I thought I'd post a little something on the website so you can take a look at her. She's doing
good. That's great. Well, congratulations. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Phoenix, also Green Day straight ahead. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, first one for a new week and a new month. What's going on?
That means we take a look at the weekend's box office. Of course, it was a long holiday weekend, and there was some dispute about what would come out at number one. It was between Sex and the City 2 and Shrek Forever, and the big green ogre beat out the horsey-faced ogre.
Really?
Yeah. $43.3 million over the long weekend made Shrek Forever After number one at the box office. Right behind it was Sex and the City 2, and its debut weekend made $32.1 million. Lisa?
I think they must be a little disappointed.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
you mean
sure.
People
made less
who went
than
to
the
see
first
the
one, I think.
People who went to see the movie must be a little disappointed.
I think
is that what
you're saying? People who made the movie must be a little disappointed.
Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Glendale.
Came in at number three, at the box office with a little over $30 million. Iron Man 2, Robin Hood, was fifth. Then in at number six, I couldn't be more excited and pleased for these people, a documentary called Best Worst Movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah!
What about that?
It's number six at the box office long weekend.
Amazing.
A little over $6 million.
Wow!
For a tiny little documentary about a horrible movie called Troll 2,
that
$6 million is a massive, massive number.
I'm going to tell you, and Ralph knows this is true, that there are lots of art house movies with big stars in them that don't make $6 million opening weekend. They get a buzz going and they
Absolutely.
Don't make that kind of money. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How about that?
So, congratulations for those guys. I love that documentary. If you know what we're talking about, we talked to the director of the film when it came out that week. But it is a documentary about one of the, if not the, worst movies ever made. A movie that's about 20 years old now called Troll 2. And the star, little kid who was the star of the movie, has grown up and made a documentary about the cult following that movie has. And it is a wildly entertaining documentary. Sometimes documentaries can be a little dry, but This one is really good. So if you don't get a chance to see it in the theaters, I'm sure it'll be out on DVD soon. You should definitely check it out. Letters to Juliet was third. Just Right was eighth. Date Night and then MacGruber came in at number 10 in the top 10. Gary Coleman, of course, passed away over the weekend. We didn't really get a chance to talk about it, but by now I'm sure you know all the details. Here's the thing I didn't know. At the peak of his TV career, Gary Coleman had made $18 million as a child doing Different Strokes. That was his net worth at the peak of his career.
Wow.
He died almost penniless.
Yeah.
Of course, his parents stole a lot of that money. He had to sue his adoptive parents and the manager for mishandling his cash. The judge granted Gary a $1.3 million settlement, but he never talked to his family again after that, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, you know, and so wasn't his fault. I mean, he was a little kid, and his parents said they were hanging on to that money. Yeah. And then when the show ended, he said, how about a little some of that for me to live on, because acting jobs are scarce. And They said, whoop, blew it. Oh, spent it all. Sorry.
The money? You mean that money?
Wait,
yeah.
Dad.
Oh, that's long gone.
You wanted that?
Oh, no.
I thought that was for us.
We've talked many times over the years about how bitter Gary Coleman was. And it's kind of hard to blame him when you realize that he should have been set up for life and didn't have many options available to him after acting.
You know what's even sadder? Vanilla Ice announced today that he's definitely going to go to the funeral because he and Gary bonded during their time on The Surreal Life. Really, that's just insult to injury, isn't it? Isn't it bad enough you're going to die at 42 when you have to have Vanilla Ice at your funeral? Can't someone step in?
By the way, they didn't bond at all. He was a special guest on that year.
Yeah, he kept trying to make him say, why don't you talk about Willis at the diner, and then kept picking him up.
And then tried to throw him in a fish fryer.
Yeah.
It was. That's right. I forgot about that.
Not so much bonding as it was bullying and abuse. But look, if you're Vanilla Ice, you got to go where the cameras are.
You know, I guess.
Exactly. Tequila will be there too, I hope. Right?
Oh, by the way, I've got Tequila's new single. We don't have time for it here.
Okay.
But in an hour, I will play you Tequila Tequila's new single. I love the DJ.
Oh, really? Good. That's it. That's the name of it.
Oh, mommy.
Which means please play this.
Yeah.
Guy who spins records.
Before I get to my celebrity birthdays, if you've been listening to the show for the past couple weeks, you may have heard us talk to Annabelle Ward. Talk to and about Annabelle. She is the victim of a hit-and-run driver from 2008 that I witnessed, and we've been doing our best to try to raise some money for her and try to get her the medical attention that she needs. She's basically an invalid now. So we've been raising some money for her. We're trying to get her back on her feet. She's got a young daughter at home as well. She's got problems with her rent. She has no car. She has no transportation. Anyway, we decided to do something a little special for Annabelle. If you go to the kevinandbean.com webpage, you will see that we are doing an auction to raise money for Annabelle Ward. 100% of the proceeds of this auction will go to her. And here's what it is. It's a VIP weenie roast ticket package. What we're going to do is I am going to auction off my own personal tickets to the Weenie Roast.
So you're not going?
I'm going to be there.
Oh, okay.
But I just won't be sitting in those seats. You will get to sit in my seats. So I don't know where they are yet, but trust me, they're good seats.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't give us crappy seats. Also, you get two VIP passes to go party backstage in the backstage VIP area. You get VIP parking. You get a chance to hang out with us. I will personally buy you a couple cocktails. And also, you get a couple T-shirts as well. So keep in mind, all of the proceeds of this auction go to Annabelle, 100% of them. And it is the K&B Bay Charity VIP Auction. You can check it out on the website right now. It just got posted. We'll be taking your bids all week long. And then on Friday, we will announce who the big winner is, and we'll talk to you on the air, and it'll be very cool. So,
is this the package we want?
Yeah, I think it is. Today's celebrity birthday is singer Andy Griffith. What? Singer? Actor Andy Griffith from the Andy Griffith Show. He sang a little bit, too.
Sort he of. Did.
He's 84 years old today.
And he whistled
today.
Some.
He did whistle some down by the fishing holes. Morgan Freeman is 73 years old today. Heidi Klum, supermodel, is 37 years old today. And singer Alanis Morissette celebrates her 36th birthday. Isn't that ironic that she has a birthday today? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We'll be talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Catch up with all the celebrity news over the weekend, including a report for reals that Heidi has left Spencer. Apparently a TMZ exclusive. We will discuss in minutes, plus Matt Money Smith will be on to preview the NBA Finals for us. So, Lisa, you're the only person I know who saw Sex and the City 2, but as you mentioned a few minutes ago, the people who made that film have got to be very disappointed with the box office this weekend. I mean, this is a franchise that was on the air for years and years. The first movie was a huge hit.
Yeah.
The new one opened kind of soft.
Yeah, $33 million is not at all what they were expecting, I don't think.
That seems like a lot to me, but...
Well, I guess for a regular movie, but this is the one that the girls all take their girlfriends to. It's just, and we don't care if it's good. We're going.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true.
But it may just be the length of time now between when the series was and the second movie. Plus, reviews were good, but I don't think they were very good for the first one.
Yeah,
either.
But you don't go on reviews.
Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, there are a lot of people who I went to Prince of Persia, for example, this
there
weekend.
And everyone told you that was going to be bad.
Right.
Well, we got a surprise for you, Lisa. We would never, ever, ever do this for us because we don't care. But producer Alex and you are so crazy about this goddamn Sex and the City that we thought it might be a thrill for you to talk to Sarah Jessica Parker. We've got her on the phone right now.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Sarah Jessica Parker, Carrie herself from Sex and the City. Hi, Sarah. How are you? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Aw.
We're good. Thank you.
That's not fair. That's a horse.
Yeah, I did. I agree. We thought it probably would make more than $30 million. I mean, that makes sense.
What, if you can guess, and I know that you're an actress and you're proud of your work, but what do you think went wrong this time around? Well, I thought the camels in the desert were a little over the top, too. I can understand. But it must have been fun for you guys, you and the actresses, to film in another part of the world, right?
Does it bother you when the critics write such bad things about a movie? Yeah. No, you're right. They don't listen. You're right. They go anyway.
Wow.
Now, based on the success of this movie, which, I mean, I imagine they would consider a success long term.
They'll still make money, right.
Have you already been talked to about Sex and the City 3?
Oh, yeah. So you don't know yet. It's really kind of out of your hands, huh? Does there come a point at which, and no offense intended here, Sarah, that you and the actresses are maybe too old to do this sort of role, or is that part of... Oh, it's not. Okay. Because you think that's part of the magic of the franchise is it gives older women role models too, huh?
Are you bothered by the fact that people say you look like a horse?
Sarah?
Kevin.
We're having a nice chat.
Yeah, people are on a roll right now, Kevin. Good job.
How dare you? Mess. What a dick.
Come on now.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Generally, we do it on Monday, but we had a long holiday weekend. Time to catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. A lot of big celebrity news. Not all of it good over the weekend. Hey, Harvey, how was your holiday, man?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Good, thank you.
Fine. Good to talk to you. You know, no one was surprised to see you report it, but you got a little bit of a scoop hearing from Heidi Pratt, I guess she's now known over the weekend, huh?
Heidi Pratt, as she's now known. The question is this real or not? Now, she says Spencer is ridiculously controlling. She lost her friend, she lost her family, and she was sick of it. So she moved out, moving to Malibu with this friend of hers, Jennifer Bunny.
All right.
Now, here's what we just published in the site.
Lesbian? So,
come on, guys.
Just asking.
They're hoping.
So here's what we put up. Heidi now says that she timed this for the end of The Hills because she didn't want to betray the show. So she stuck it out with him until the show was over. Now she's moving to Malibu with her friend Jennifer Bunny, and they're going to do a reality show this summer.
Of course they are.
Interesting.
And now she says she's not necessarily ready to pull the trigger on the divorce, but she's definitely separated. So now the question, is this a publicity stunt or not?
Well, it's so impossible to tell with Spencer and Heidi because they say outrageous, outlandish things, and we always fall for it and cover them. But it seemed plausible that he had estranged her from all of her friends and family just based on the behavior that we do know about him.
See, I think you're right. And, I mean, I just raised the issue, but... You know, it's there was something weird that happened. You know, all those crystals, and I'm not saying that crystals are necessarily weird, but he got into this whole guru thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he just got wacky. And, you know, Heidi's mom had this big thing where he called the police on her mom, and apparently she was real upset about that. So I could see this as real. But it is weird that how do you get over a split with your husband? You do a reality show.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the answer.
It's hard to imagine that Spencer would, if he and Heidi were actually really still together, that he would not insist on being a part of the reality show in some way.
That's true. You never know, though. What if he barges in?
That's possible. Yeah.
Here's the thing. It all makes sense. We all totally believe he's an a-hole. We all totally believe he's isolated her. But we also have all learned that you don't trust what comes out of that camp.
Right.
And, exactly. And, you know, and the weird thing is, because I kind of thought, okay, people are kind of over it. They're not. I mean, I'm looking at what people click on the site. They're still really into this.
That's so bizarre.
Isn't that something? All right, let's move on. It's very sad news over the weekend. Obviously, Gary Coleman on Friday and then Dennis Hopper on Saturday. Tough, sad to hear about both those. Dennis Hopper, of course, was way more expected because he had been quite ill. But there's been quite a court battle brewing, and I'm not sure I fully understand. He was trying real hard to get divorced when he died, right, Harvey?
Yeah, here's what happened. He's been married to this woman, and according to the prenup, she's entitled to 25% of his estate. He wanted to cut her out. The only way she can get the 25% is if two conditions are met. She has to be divorced. If she is divorced from him and not living in the house, they can cut her out of the will.
Okay.
So, it's either or. Now, the divorce, he filed for divorce, and he was hoping that the divorce would be final before he died, but that didn't happen. Mm. They're not divorced. So on that count, she's still entitled to the 25%. He really wanted to cut her out. He moved her into a guest house on the compound. She's still living in the compound. So the fight is she still living in the, quote, house?
Mm. Wow.
Living on the property, and there's going to be a dogfight in court over this. Now it moves from divorce court to probate court, but they're going to be fighting over whether living in the guest house is enough to give her the 25%.
If he wanted her out of the will, why would he let her live in a guest house? Why wouldn't he just kick her out?
Because there were provisions there about where she could go. It just got real complicated. So the issue is, they're saying, you know, his lawyers are saying, she's not living in the house anymore. The house is the house is the house. And she's saying, no, the compound is the house. So ultimately, a judge is going to have to decide this.
This was what, his fourth or fifth marriage, Harvey?
I think it was his fourth. I think his fourth.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's unbelievable. I read that some of the great obituaries over the weekend. Dennis Hopper, for folks who don't recognize the name, one of the greatest actors who ever lived in films like Easy Rider and Apocalypse Now. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable, one of a kind, amazing photographer. But every time he got divorced, he lost everything. He needed a better attorney from the start. I don't know what was wrong with this guy or why he continued to get married. But even in death, his estate has to be in court trying to figure out who gets what. It's very, very sad.
He's like an older version of Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, exactly. All right, last question. You put up a great story. We're talking with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Check your local listings about the miraculous return of Bret Michaels, who hilariously was almost a joke as the lead singer of Poison about a year ago. Now he's one of the most popular entertainers in America. He seemingly has come back from the deathbed with potentially some huge news from stage this weekend. What happened, Harvey?
Well, I mean, he performed in Biloxi, and the doctor didn't want him to do it.
Okay.
And he decided, you know what, I'm going to do it. I don't care. I'm on a roll. So the provisions were these. They had to crank the AC up, and then they had to have medical personnel standing by. So he is on stage, and there are, like, paramedics right off stage just in case.
Wow.
I mean, it's just, like, crazy. But, you know, I got to say, I love the guy. I mean, I just love the idea that he's so passionate about this that he's saying, look, this is my time, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And I just think it was cool.
And he wins Celebrity Apprentice. And now
he wins Celebrity Apprentice.
And now he's saying that he may be the next judge on American Idol, that he might be the guy to replace Simon Cowell, which, you know what, a year ago would have sounded like a crazy idea, but he's a bright, articulate guy who's got a lot of experience in the music industry. Who knows? Maybe it's not the worst plan ever.
It may not be. I mean, they got to make a really tough, quick decision on this thing because, you know, the ratings went down like 20% for the finale.
Right.
So can I tell you about one other thing that I think is just really interesting this weekend?
Sure.
This trust. You know, Michael Jackson, we finally got to look at the trust that he left for the kids and for Catherine. And I just think this is fascinating. The kids are going to get a fortune, right?
Right.
I mean, the estate is now going to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And Michael was worth much more in death than he was in life.
Right.
Because it's Elvis-like.
Right.
So when you look at the trust, the kids don't get the full use of the money. They're basically given an allowance until they're 40. I mean, it starts getting doled out to them in dribs and drabs when they're 30. But they don't get the full money until they're 40 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, it's almost like he realized that he was so irresponsible with money, he didn't want to do to his kids what he did to himself. I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but 40 is awfully old.
It is.
Before you give a kid.
Why not just make it 60?
I know.
But you're right. He's demanding that they become somebody before they get the money, essentially.
But when I read the story, Harvey, and I think it's interesting too, does this mean that Blanket is going to have to work at McDonald's through high school?
What kind
of allowance are they getting?
This is not the kind of allowance we got.
They're going to get
I'm calling an allowance, but they're going to get a lot of money. I mean, they're going to get whatever they want. It's just they can't go crazy. They can't go crazy until they're 40, but it really is like the classic trust fund baby. It's just really interesting.
They're going to save up that crazy and just hold on to it till they're 40.
Just
go out of their minds.
Exactly. And then they'll be dead like their father at 50. Very sad. All right, Harvey, you're the best, dude. Thank you so much for joining us.
Can I just tell you one other thing?
Yeah. Yes.
I went into Psycho Mike twice this weekend at the gym.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
He is just the nicest guy. You guys are lucky to have him around there.
Yeah, you don't spend too much time with him.
He is a nice guy.
If he is nice to you, Harvey, it's because he's hitting on you. That's why we see a different Psycho Mike than you do, okay?
Does he talk a lot when you see him?
No, you know, but
yeah,
just,
see?
He,
there it is.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy, yeah, but he watches
well,
his mouth.
I hope you two are very happy together, Harvey. Thanks for calling, dude.
I'll see you guys
Thank
later.
You, bye. Wow. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 641.
Too early.
You guys are so lucky you got to listen to that song.
Too early.
And you
don't
have to listen to
Bean. I'm making an interesting conversation. All right. It is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Greatest time of the year for sports fans because your NBA finals are about to start on Thursday. Stanley Cup finals in action already. Matt Money Smith from the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show joins us on the phone right now. Money, how was your long weekend, my friend?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Good to talk to you. You have to help Ralph. You got to talk Ralph off this 0-2 ledge that he's in with his Flyers. Does he have any hope?
No, why would I do that?
To bandwagon Smith?
Yeah, why?
I disown the Hawks. I don't like the Chicago Blackhawks.
That's right.
I will never watch them again. I hate that team. Even though I'm from that area, I hate them. Oh, they're in the finals? Go Hawks! Yeah.
Hawks. For folks who haven't been listening, didn't you write a letter turning your back on the Blackhawks when you were like seven, Money?
I did, and since Ralph already began the story, maybe he could finish it for you. What was contained in that letter there, Ralph?
Now he's going to start pulling out the fine print of his contract.
Yeah, you got to read the small print.
I told the owner that I disowned the team until he sold it or died, and he died 2 years ago.
All right.
Big surprise, owner dies, Blackhawks turn around and return to the Stanley Cup Finals.
No, it's right, Money. You've been doing nothing but talking nonstop about the Blackhawks for the past 2 years. You're right. You are such a huge fan.
I will tell you this. I saw a little bit of Game 1. I saw most of Game 2 last night.
Yes.
The goalie for Chicago is one of the biggest people I've ever seen in any sport, not just hockey. It's crazy. It's almost like you can't even see the net behind him. He's so big.
Yeah, it's kind of same goes with Pronger, you know.
Pronger's huge.
Who was on the Ducks. I mean, there's a couple dudes in the league. Zdeno Chara is another guy. They're just freaking mad. Because, if these guys are 6'4", or 6'6", they throw skates on. They're almost a foot taller.
Yeah.
Buffalo, too. For Chicago is 260 pounds.
Yeah. It's been a great series. I mean, it really does bum me out when I look at the ratings for hockey and see that it's just not drawing
what
it ought to, because both of these games, I mean, really two completely different games, just the offensive explosion of game one and then just a gnarly beat the crap out of each other game two yesterday, and I can only imagine it's going to get worse, as the series progresses.
And by worse, you mean better. The first game, for those of you that didn't watch, was 6-5. It was tied 3-3 at the end of the first period. I was like, what's happening?
And then yesterday it was just fights galore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like our guy with no teeth is meaner than your guy with no teeth, but our guy has less teeth than your guy with no teeth.
I think Ralph's guy with no teeth is worse than your guy with no teeth.
Yeah, it really has been great, and if you have a chance to watch it, you ought to, especially because they're two great, you know, traditional hockey cities, you know, the Blackhawks and the original six. The Flyers came with the Kings in 67. Good hockey towns, great teams, just scrappy teams, offensive teams. It really has.
They beat the hell out of each other.
Although, Mr. Part of the Problem, Not the Solution, I listen to your radio show quite often, and I don't hear a lot of hockey talk over there on your station.
No, it's funny, though. You know, anytime I do talk hockey, which is about, I don't know, once a week or something, you get all the emails.
Yeah.
Talk hockey, brother.
I know.
Thanks for looking out for the cause.
Right.
Well, how about a little more hockey, less soccer talk over there on your show?
Well, now
exactly.
Let's not get crazy here, Ralph.
By the way, and you're not lying about the ratings, because the games during the week are not even on ABC, right? They're putting them on Versus.
NBC,
right?
Yeah. NBC, yeah. They're on Versus, yeah.
They're not even on the network, which kind of sucks for the finals in a major sport. All right, let's turn our attention to some games that will be on the network. ABC starting Thursday night. It's a return of the Lakers-Celtics, one of the great rivalries in all of sports. How do you like these teams, the way they look going into the series?
Well, I think health has a lot to do with it. You know, Rajon Rondo, who's their point guard, that weird-looking dude, is suffering from some muscle spasms in his back. And if you saw that Game 6 against the Magic, he was laying on the ground quite a bit with that ice pack. And
yeah.
Nate Robinson was doing a lot of the damage. And, you know, the Lakers have, you know, in this run here, have traditionally had issues with quick point guards that can break a defense down and kind of create havoc because their help defense isn't that great. So if he's not 100% and if he's really limited, that's going to help the Lakers a lot. Now, if he's healthy and Garnett and Sheed and Kendrick Perkins and all these guys have shown they can push the Lakers around a little bit, it's going to be a tough go. So I think health's going to have a lot to do with it. And that's flip side, you know, the Lakers as well. Andrew Bynum got his knee drained. Now, remember, Kobe got his knee drained, and people made a big deal about it prior to Game 5 in Oklahoma, you know, against
right.
Oklahoma City. And that's the game that he went crazy and began this ridiculous string of one of the most dominating postseasons we've seen from a player in a long time. And what the players have said in talking to him is you get your knee drained and it kind of sucks for about a day or two, but then you feel great for a couple weeks. So, you know, my guess is they waited until this time to get Bynum's knee drained so he would be healthy for this series. He can occupy that big body of Kendrick Perkins, because remember what we saw in 2008, he really pushed Powell around rather
yeah.
easily.
Yeah. Well, that was the big rap, is that the Lakers were soft and Boston.
Everyone's thinking this is going to be a very physical series because of the way Boston plays. Do you think that poses a problem for the Lakers?
Well, you know what? This is where getting Ron Artest instead of Trevor Ariza just gets paid off in spades. I mean, he is the one guy, you know, in the NBA, if you just go back, you know, 15 years, you think about the Knicks and former Bull Charles Oakley. That was the one guy you didn't mess with.
Right.
Not only was he big, but he was crazy. You know, he would just rip your arm off and beat you over the head with it if you did him wrong. And that's what Ron Artest is. And you know, Trevor, although he was a good defender, you know, had those long arms, could cover space, he's not physical like Ron. And I think if Garnett or Pierce or any of these guys pull the same crap they did in 2008, Artest is going to be the guy that's just going to pick him up and throw him into the third row.
I like it.
And I think they know that. And you know, just like straight up defensively, you know, Paul Pierce, think about this. Paul Pierce, finals MVP in 2008, was guarded by Vladdy Radmanovich.
Yeah.
Okay, that now turns into Ron Artest. So there is a significant upgrade in the Lakers' defense when it comes to the guy that won the finals MVP a couple times, you know, a couple years ago.
Well, this is certainly the matchup that a lot of people have been looking forward to since they have such a rich history and, you know, the way it turned out 2 years ago. So it's going to be very, very exciting. Are you willing to make a prediction, Matt Money Smith?
You know what's funny? I mean, I don't know if people realize it, but they always hear Lakers-Celtics-Lakers. Do you know what the count is in terms of championships when these two teams meet?
I do.
Yeah, it's been 2-9, right?
Yeah.
The Lakers are 2-9 in the last 11.
The Lakers are 2-9 in the last 11 finals against the Boston Celtics. That's why their freaking fans hate them so much. I mean, 2-9. I think, soon to be 3-9. I wouldn't make a prediction until I kind of see what Rondo looks like, what Bynum looks like, because that really is the key. I mean, the key of the Lakers is having Bynum out there to take Powell off that block from getting pushed around and be as effective as he can be. And the key for the Celtics is having Rondo. And if neither of those guys are healthy, it really is a toss up. If both of them are healthy, every team's full speed, I think the Lakers are a better team. I think they should be able to get through because of home court, and that's what they said in 2008.
Right.
We need home court. You know, those those first two games at home, big difference. Put the pressure on the opposing team when you win at home. Lakers haven't lost at home. And, you know, we saw what happened last year when they had that home court. They won those first two games, picked up two more in Orlando, and won the whole thing in five. So I give them the edge if everyone's healthy, basically.
Well, I just hope the Lakers don't disappoint you so you have to write a letter turning your back on another sports team.
And then wish death upon somebody.
Exactly. All right, we're out of time. Matt Money Smith, nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show on the Fox Sports Network here in Los Angeles. It's on 570 AM starting at 3. Money, great to talk to you, dude. Thanks for coming on.
Go Flyers.
The host of the X Games, Sal Masekela, joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show ahead of his trip to South Africa to cover the World Cup for ESPN. Lots of stuff to talk to Sal about when he comes in. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I want to give you the heads up that we are having an auction to raise some more money for the hit-and-run victim, friend of ours, Annabelle Ward, who got run over back in 2008. Her and her daughter and her two dogs were hit in a crosswalk. I witnessed the whole thing, and so I've been trying to raise some money because they're really going through a tough time right now. Annabelle's still got broken bones in her left leg. She's trying to get healthy, but she's just barely keeping her head above water. So we're trying to raise some money for her. And so one of the ways we're going to do it is with a auction for Winnie Rose tickets. These are my personal tickets. These are my seats for the show. I will be auctioning them off. You get two of those tickets. You get the VIP party passes. You get VIP parking. You get a meet and greet with us. All right. It's not all good. But,
but you can skip t-shirts. That if you want,
you get
right?
Two t-shirts, so that should make up for having to meet us. If you'd like to bid on this, 100% of all the proceeds will go to help Annabelle and her daughter, Ayana. So please, if you're going to buy tickets, this is the place to buy them. You can go to kevinandbean.com, and all the information is there for how you can bid on the K and B Bay auction, as we call it, because it's not eBay, it's K and B Bay.
Right. Yeah.
Like that slogan?
Sure.
I wrote that myself. Yeah, let's take a look at the weekend's hot movies, shall we? Shrek Forever After was number one at the box office, $43.3 million, edging out Sex and the City's two debut weekend. $32 million made it number two. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, in its debut weekend, made a little over $30 million. Good enough.
How was that, Kevin? Three. You're the only guy I know went to see that.
It was the Prince of Parkour, first of all, and okay. Gemma Atkinson. What's her name?
Arterton.
That's the recipe. You just have a lot of action and somebody like her to look at. Action, her. Action, her to look at.
I like it.
Perfect.
So you're
the Transformers formula.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
She's symbolically hot.
Yeah.
She's one of my faves. Iron Man 2 was fourth. Robin Hood was fifth. The Best Worst Movie documentary about Troll 2. One of our favorite movies around here. We've seen it recently, and we recommend it highly. Did $6 million at the box office this weekend. Made it number six. Letters to Juliet, Just Right, Date Night, and MacGruber. Running out your top 10 at the
I think it's
office.
So fascinating that documentary has made so much more money than the movie ever made.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Fascinating. Speaking of Transformers, looks like more details are coming out about the blow-up between Megan Fox and Michael Bay, and while they're not going to be working together on Transformers 3. According to insiders, Megan Fox arrived at a meeting for Transformers 3 looking, according to Michael Bay, too pale, too underweight, and too unhealthy to shoot the movie.
Wow.
He told her to go away and come back when she was a size 2 or 4, so she'd have more curves for the movie. She came in at a size 0, apparently, when she showed up. She went off, gained a little weight, was working out, came back. Fox executives say that Michael Bay was still not happy with her appearance. They had a blow up. She had enough of it and walked.
Well, first of all, he's wrong because she's awesome. But second of all, these new bikini pictures that are up today, she's as thin as I've ever seen her since she's been famous.
Yeah.
She is skin and bones right now. That is
way
true.
Thin.
Yeah. she could eat.
Yeah,
she could eat.
So now, of course, that supermodel's taken over. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley has been taking over the role of Shia LaBeouf's love interest, and apparently Shia is not too pleased. The fact he isn't going to be working with Megan again, and the fact that this girl has never acted before, but when has that ever mattered in a Michael Bay movie?
Yeah, well,
so I can't see.
She hot? That's what you need.
She is absolutely hot.
Yeah.
More details also coming out about the Split. I'm making air quotes here now.
Yeah.
You can't see it
because
it's radio. But Split between Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt. She has moved in with her girlfriend in Malibu. Jennifer Bunny. Because she's had it with Spencer.
Sure.
This is a separation between the two of them, and she's going to spend the summer in Malibu with her girlfriend. Of course, there's going to be a reality show based on that experience called The Heidi Show.
Sure.
Now, here's the thing. It is being produced by Spencer's production company.
Prep Productions. All right. Well, that says it
all. How separated can they be if she is collaborating with him on a new reality show?
Yeah, that guy is a huge douche.
Listen, the only thing you need to remember is, remember the fake wedding in Mexico?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this is the fake split. And they're going to shoot a documentary, and I guarantee you the season finale will be Spencer and Heidi running back into each other's loving arms in slow motion.
Sure.
And then a sniper shows up on the rooftop.
No, that's your
version. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my fantasy ending.
Is this for MTV? Has anyone agreed to air this, or is this just something they're making, hoping someone will?
This does not say if any network has picked up the show
yet. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great if they made it and no one watched.
Yeah. Sorry.
Russell Brand?
Yes.
Katy Perry?
Still getting married?
Still getting married.
Oh.
But you're going to have a hard time finding them a wedding gift because they said they're not going to register for any gifts.
Okay.
Russell Brand says, we both have pretty good jobs and asking for presents would be a massive indulgence. So they're not.
I respect that.
They're asking everyone not to give them any gifts, which I think is kind of cool.
That's cool.
Hey, donation to charity in their name would be a win-win for everyone.
I agree. Or just keep their money and not give it to anyone. It's another option.
Sure.
Tila Tequila won't go away.
Hey!
We, of course, talked last week about the fact that she claims she's going to be in the new cast of Celebrity Rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Which TMZ says has been postponed because they can't find enough celebrities with problems to do it.
Oh, really?
That's what they said.
Ones that won't do it on television,
right.
I guess. Yeah. So, great. I hope that's the case. I hope she never gets on television again. Unfortunately, she is still pursuing her music career.
You put that in air quotes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here is her new single. It's going to drop on the 7th of June. It's called I Love My DJ, and it's horrible.
Cream in the middle like an Oreo. Got you on rock like the rodeo. Drop like stock, you can check the portfolio. Cause I pop like a Desert E44. Fuse on my jock like, hey, where shorty go? Feel over there in the booth, you know how it goes. I rock the DJ.
Wow. I am numb to pop music at this point. To me, that's no better or worse than a Kesha song.
Oh, I
can't tell the difference
between
what's good and what's bad anymore.
When you listen
on that
to her,
kind of
it's like she's reading a grocery list. There's no inflection whatsoever in any of those rhymes. It is just dead from
that
the inside
is
out.
Really not good.
And then it sounds like something that two black girls should be double dutching to in a playground. Really. Really. Oh, God. How is Gary Coleman dead and she's still alive? There's no God.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
Today's celebrity birthday is Alanis Morissette is 36 years old today. You know what she'd do? She'd probably call India just to thank them.
Because that's a fantastic idea.
We don't have time for that, unfortunately. We'd like to, but we don't have time
when we get a chance. Yeah. Heidi Klum is 37 years old today.
Yes.
Legendary guitarist for the Rolling Stones, Ron Wood, celebrates his 63rd birthday. Morgan Freeman is 73 years old, and legendary sitcom star Andy Griffith of The Andy Griffith Show. And don't forget Matlock.
Sure.
Can't forget Matlock. He is 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It's a big deal to be at the X Games.
Downhill is good. Here is the jump.
Flips it very short. We're outside of the Staples Center. A beautiful night for Moto X. You are not standing up at home. I will get off the couch. Pastrana just earned his first goal.
Bob Burnquist.
Oh, my God! He did not just do that.
That was the dark side to fake.
Tony Hawk, X Games.
We have lost our minds in the booth right now.
Shaun White as focused as he's ever been.
And the man fell from the sky over 50 feet. Oh, my God. His shoes.
25 feet down.
This is Sal Masekela, host of the ESPN X Games.
I don't know. We feel boring when we listen to you broadcast the X Games, Sal. Somehow you make us feel bad about our own jobs.
That guy needs a Xanax.
Or something. Sal Masekela is here. You've seen him on the NBA sidelines. You've seen him lots of times on ESPN for X Games and other things. His own show on E! You've seen him at the Oscars. The dude does everything. He even covered the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship, ladies and gentlemen, a couple years ago. Come on!
Yes.
And now he's going to have the summer of his life as he heads to South Africa on Friday for several weeks of the World Cup coverage. Good times right there, Sal.
Yeah,
good
this
times
is
indeed.
Greatest summer of my life. I'm heading down there to be the human interest cultural reporter for ESPN for World Cup 2010. You know, my dad's from South Africa, political exile for 30 years. I didn't get to get down there the first time until 1991 after he was allowed back in the country, so to be able to have this first World Cup ever on the continent and be a part of it at this, intrinsical cultural storytelling level is it's something I never could have even imagined.
And your dad is a jazz artist?
Yeah, my dad is a flugelhorn player by the name of Hugh Masekela. He had a big hit called "Grazing in the Grass."
Grazing in the Grass,
68 and 69.
Legendary, yeah.
Kind of a legend. And he's actually playing the opening ceremonies.
Wow, that's something.
On the 10th, and I'm going to be there covering that show for ESPN Live on ESPN2.
Now, I know that there's a lot of hype every time there's a big television event, but realistically, how many people will watch the opening ceremonies of the World Cup this year? Could it be a billion?
Yeah, that's realistic, man. I mean, it's funny you say, they always try and say, how close to a billion can we get for something like this? But this is really, this is the biggest event in the world. This makes the Olympics look like a little league game, in West Hollywood. This is the biggest thing on the planet right now. We really could have a billion people watching.
One of the things when it's Olympics or World Cup that happens is the rest of the world finds out a little something about the host country. Most of us, the only thing we know about South Africa really is the Nelson Mandela movies and District 9. I mean, that's it. And that was a raw deal, what happened to those people down there in Johannesburg with District 9.
Hey, Pron.
Exactly. And that was real, right? That was a documentary.
Yes.
You've been to South Africa a number of times, and I know you went this year to film a bunch of stuff that we'll be seeing on ESPN. Tell us a little bit about that country. It's a mystery to we dumb Americans.
Yeah, it's funny that you said it exactly. People think of South Africa as basically apartheid and Nelson Mandela, and then they think of poverty and AIDS, mm-hmm. Whenever you hear the conversation about Africa, it's more about what can we do for Africa?
Right.
We have to help Africa. And they speak of Africa like it's just a country. But South Africa is incredible. My dad and I did a 2-week road trip in March, with this amazing director named Jonathan Hawk, where it was always my dad's dream for us to just get in a car and drive through the entire country and have him tell me the stories of the people and the country and how it got there. And interestingly, during apartheid, you had to stay in your town. So let's say I lived in West Hollywood. I needed a pass or basically a visa to go to Venice.
No kidding.
And then to
just
come back.
A couple of miles.
Just to go a couple of miles.
Wow.
So people within South Africa didn't even get a chance to really get to know their country. And my dad's theory was they did that because if people saw how beautiful the country was, they probably would have fought against apartheid a lot earlier.
Much sooner. Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I saw on this trip. We went to go and see the people, the Sutus, the Xhosas, the Vendas, the Shangans, the Pedis, the Pudus.
Are you swearing right now?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, what you're saying.
I'm swearing. But there's literally there's 10, 11 different groups of people that make up South Africa. There's 9, 10 different languages. They all dance differently and sing differently, and they have amazing plumage. And the Sutu people had this amazing history of some of the first democracies in the early 1800s. And when the British went to go and conquer them, they were like, wow. This king pretty much resembles King George in the way he thinks and the way that people have their democracies and such. And so a lot of it gets that culture gets swept under the rug because of what we think of Africa to be today. And just the song and the dance and the music and the things that people will see in this documentary, I think they'll really be blown away by the energy of the people.
I got to take the trip of a lifetime when we saved up and went on to Kenya and to Nigeria. And the one thing that I noticed, besides the fact that they walked everywhere, even if it was 40 miles, they walked, and there was super, heavy poverty, but they were so happy.
Yeah, man.
The kids along the street just smiling and having a great time. And I thought, they're happier than we are.
Yeah.
And, I was so shocked by that.
We went to a school in Swaziland. And in this district, there's 20% of the kids, their parents have been afflicted with AIDS. So you have a lot of kids who don't have parents. And it was we went to this school where they're doing this amazing work on sort of educating kids with just the simple things of what you need to know, as opposed to like the drugs and what have you. Just what you need to know.
Right.
And these kids, man, when we showed up at the school, they danced and sang for like 5 minutes before we even walked in the door. And they were so happy and all smiles. And like you said, they had nothing. But
right.
They have such a richness and a pride in their culture and traditions that have been passed down that it really helped. For me, it was a strong reminder of what the equivalent of really what wealth is.
Right.
You know,
right.
What you
They don't even have
ESPN, is.
Right? I mean, that's
no,
that's sad. That's low down. Sal, let me ask you. This is Sal Mascaley you're hearing on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, talking about his trip to South Africa that he's just come back from and is going again to cover the World Cup starting Friday. Hey, apartheid's been gone officially. The last remnants of it were voted out 20 years ago or so. That's the official position. What's it like on the streets in terms of race relations, whites versus blacks, in a country like South Africa in 2010?
You still feel it. You still feel it. And you can't take, you know, 300-400 years of something and expect it to change overnight, especially when it was something that was a legalized, socialized type thing. However, from when I first went down there in 91, when people would call you a kafir, which is basically the N-word in passing, like, hello, kafir.
Is that right? That was just a greeting?
That was an ignorant way of, you know, saying, don't look at me. And you couldn't even smile at a white person and be like, hey, how are you?
Wow.
Like, what are you looking at me for? I'll backhand you.
Wow.
It's a different vibe and a different energy now. You know, you can definitely see that the country has progressed. But I'd be lying if it didn't say it has a long way to go. And socioeconomically, especially, you can't make up for what people haven't had for that long. And
right.
That's just going to take it's going to take time. But I think...
But you can go this summer and make love to any white woman you want and get away with it, though,
I can,
right?
And that's my plan, actually.
You actually should. You absolutely should.
I'll be going for reparations in Cape Town.
Exactly. All right. We need to take a quick break. Sal Mascaley is here. We'll talk more about the film that he did with his dad, Umlando, on ESPN, get an idea of what his schedule is going to be like, and talk some World Cup, too, when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Our friend Sal Mascaley is in studio. You know him and love him from the X Games and from the Daily 10 on E. He is heading to South Africa on Friday for the World Cup. How long are you going to be gone? How many weeks is it, Sal?
I'll be gone from the 4th until like the 17th of July. I get home.
And wow. Then you get back for a couple of weeks, and then it's X Games time all over again.
Straight into X Games. now brought to you from the Coliseum of Los Angeles.
Yeah, how about that? That was
no more Home Depot.
That was a strange change, wasn't it?
Strange in that we got used to the Home Depot, but not so much in that it's right down the street from the Staples Center, and now it feels centralized.
It's all kind of right there in the
same
location.
It's all right there. It'll be better for us.
How about the World Cup? Are they? Is it spread out all over the country, or is it pretty much a couple of stadiums close enough that you won't have too much trouble traveling?
It's all over the country. It's planes, trains, and automobiles, literally. You'll be in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban, Pretoria, and I think Bloemfontein, and there's another one.
If you were to drive, how far would that be?
Oh, that makes sense. let's see, from Durban to Johannesburg would be like from here to San Francisco.
Okay.
And
okay,
then
gotcha.
It's like a 9-10 hour drive from Durban to Cape Town.
And what
they,
about
they built brand new stadiums?
Oh man, they built some gorgeous ass stadiums, man.
Just really
incredible, beautiful
specifically
stadiums.
For this particular event.
Yeah. I mean, they pumped billions, literally billions of dollars.
Is there a lot of pressure on the team from South Africa? I mean, they're not...
Hey, I saw Invictus. I know, man.
They're not the highest rated team, but they're the home team, and that puts a lot of stress on you sometimes.
Yeah, they're not the highest rated team. They're not the best team, but they did pretty good at that that last little cup.
The Confederation Cup.
The Confederation, yeah. The Confed Cup, they did decent.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a pressure on them, but not as much as people think. Like, it's already a win for the country that the World Cup is there.
Yeah.
So as far as they go, I think they play Mexico first.
Okay.
I've heard if they get past the first round, the people will consider that a success. It's
they
embarrassing
beat Mexico,
to lose in the first
they
round.
Won.
You're one. Okay. Just one game.
And now I'm going to have to watch myself in the street. People like, hey, man, I heard exactly what you said on K-Rock right the other day, bro. What was that?
So anything other than the powerhouses, than Brazil, Argentina, Germany, I mean, anything other than those guys is really going to be an upset this year. But what are you hearing? I'm sure you have been knee-deep in research for how the clubs are faring heading into the World Cup. What who's your surprise pick hit, if you have one, Sal?
Ghana. I'm not joking.
Are you serious?
Watch out for Ghana.
Ghana.
Ghana has got a squad, and no one's talking about Ghana, but you watch a couple weeks from now, you're going to be like, wow, that Masekela.
We're not going to say, wow, that Ghana?
Yeah, wow, that Ghana.
Now, Sal, you're going to be doing a ton of coverage. I don't know how many hours you're going to be on ESPN throughout the period of the World Cup is going on, but are we going to see you in 3D like we are some of the games?
You don't want that.
That's my fear. That's why I'm concerned, and I'm asking.
You don't want
that. We need to make sure that we don't have the glasses on when you come
you
on
need
the screen.
Special glasses just to see me in 3D. Could you imagine this hair coming at you in 3D?
It would be like a horror movie.
Medusa or something. No, I to the best of my knowledge, and hopefully for the sake of the viewer, I will not be in 3D. I'll be out doing all I'm gonna be the feel good dude. I'm gonna be telling you stories that make you warm.
It's a full month. Is there a regular time that we can count on seeing you, or are they just gonna sprinkle you throughout the whole thing?
They're gonna sprinkle me. I'm gonna be like what's her name during the Olympics? Oh, come on, Sal.
What's her name?
With the beautiful sweaters.
Betty White?
No, yeah, Betty White. That's funny.
Good guess, Bean.
Jenna Jameson.
Yes, like Jenna Jameson during the Olympics. No,
Abigail Adams.
They're just going to spread.
Some good guesses.
Spread me out. The doc that I did with my dad, Umlando, through my father's eyes, that will air before and after a lot of the games and starts airing on June 11th.
Is that how long okay. is that? Is
and
that an
that's
hour?
10 5-minute vignettes. That will play throughout the World Cup, and then there'll be longer form pieces that you can see on ESPN.com. Oh, by the way, I figured out who I was talking about.
Yes.
I will be the Mary Carrillo of the World Cup, minus the beautiful sweaters.
Good pull.
And the
all right, one of you, either Sal or Kevin, will know. How difficult is it going to be to watch all the World Cup games this year? What kind of coverage are we getting here in the United States, or do you have to buy some fancy-schmancy DirecTV soccer
package?
We're getting
amazing coverage.
It's all ESPN high def.
ESPN ABC Global, baby. High
Fantastic.
Def in your face. I think the only difficulty will be whether or not you can go to sleep early, wean yourself off the booze, and wake up, you know, for 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning for games.
Yeah, that's when we have to get up regularly.
Or wait to drink.
Wait to drink until then?
Or five in the morning. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Well, it's very exciting, Sal, and I was so happy when I heard that you were going to be part of their coverage this year, because I always enjoy you on the TV, and I know that personally it must be extremely gratifying for you to be able to go back to the motherland and do this kind of work. I mean, like you said, you're a lucky man, and it's the summer of your life, so
yeah,
good
if
on you.
If you could write a script of how you'd want your life to play out for me, this would definitely be... I would choose this way, you know.
Well,
have
a fantastic.
It's gonna be awesome. Thank
yeah,
you guys.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'll do my
have
best.
Have a fantastic trip over there, and definitely come in and see us before the X Games if you can too. If you
I will. I'll do my best to give you guys a call from down there as well and say hello. And you guys can follow me. I'll be blogging and doing all sorts of stuff at salmasekela.com.
There you go, Sal. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate.
Listen, I've got to give a clue here now. I don't want any more bullshit any time during the day.
Okay.
From anyone. That includes me.
Okay. Anytime during the day? The man who did the documentary about that guy, Winnebago Man, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 20 minutes or so. Also, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday coming up. First, though, it's time to ask the musical question. Would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
Occasionally, somebody will come up to me and ask, who writes our show?
Who writes our show?
Yeah.
And I go,
how much easier would that be?
If you listen, you would understand nobody writes our show. We ad-lib it, and a lot of times it goes poorly. Let's be honest.
It's funny because I hear that theme song and it makes me so happy. I enjoy it so much. And then instantly I'm so sad because I realize that we're about
usually
to do what
you
like to take
it
back.
It's almost always you. That's why.
So basically what this is, if you haven't heard it before, is somebody said something on the air that somebody else put in the file, and now they have the chance to either defend it or to basically apologize to the listeners
for it. Right. You'd say it was an effort. you know, you try it. It's funny in your head.
I offer you a second chance in life.
And then you said it, and it didn't come out as funny as you thought that it would. Now,
chance to make things right.
I'm the only one here that has a standing I'll take everything back policy.
Regards your whole career, doesn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. But Bean will often defend himself. I don't know if he will this particular time. Ralph was talking about Lost and what the cast was going to do as they all moved on with their lives now that there was no more Lost.
And Jorge Garcia says he's moving back to L.A. and he'll figure it out once he has a couple weeks to think about it. So,
but he's in way better shape than a lot of the other actors on the show because he obviously won the lottery, so he's got money's not a concern for him.
God damn it!
What? I'm just... But he...
File.
But I...
Would you like to take that back?
Come on. What do you guys think? I mean, what do we think?
Did you hear the reaction?
It was a lame-ass attempt to compare him to the character he played on Lost.
Mike cursed
at
you.
Which is always funny to me, though. It's always funny when you get confused with which one's the real actor and which one's the character. I can see that it was not well-received, though. I will, in fact.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah. Back. How about that?
I take a lot of them back,
what
by
a
the
surprise.
Way. But I'm not going to just cave. Sometimes I'll fight for him. That one I'm willing to let go.
How about this one? Ralph was talking about Simon Cowell leaving American Idol.
Yes.
And we were talking about, I don't know, the search for a new judge.
Simon Cowell was a unique combination of a guy who worked in the music industry for years and also happened to be acerbic, so he was a good fit. But I don't know. I don't know anybody who fills that role.
Don Imus, would you be interested? Is that something you could see yourself doing, perhaps? Not even try it, Mike.
No one knows who that is anyway. So.
Nope. There was a fail on both levels.
File. It wasn't strange.
File.
It wasn't West.
That was an alley-oop fail right there.
But Mike didn't break to the basket.
Usually he hits the gates,
Mike didn't break to the basket.
Time.
Bean just threw the ball up there and made him jump.
that was sad for everyone, most of all the listeners.
All right, so that was a bit of a stretch.
It was, and by the way, the only reason you guys are looking at me right now is because Mike dropped the ball.
That
he
is
had
not
the
true.
Opportunity
no.
to make the, he had the chance to make the three-pointer at the buzzer, and he threw it under the stand. That's
when
what
you
happened
said,
there.
You threw the ball at his feet. When you said Don Imus, what do you think? First of all, most of our audience has no idea who that is. It's a radio DJ in New
that
York.
That doesn't matter to me.
That's 100 years old.
Right, and he's not like a record executive. I don't even see the connection. I don't even see why that was the choice.
I love Mike Stein-Imus.
Yeah, because you
had
that obscure radio BS. That's why.
And I thought it would be funny. Look, a lot more people know who Don Imus is than you think because he got suspended in the huge national controversy over his nappy-headed hose comment.
But in the context of that story, it really didn't fit
at all. It was a horrible choice to replace Simon Cowell.
Would you like to take that back?
And then you pull more Mike into it as an accessory to your murder, you make him drive the getaway car. Poor bastard.
Was it comedy murder?
It was.
Comedy murder. So?
Would comedy you like murder. To take that back?
Playing the side stage this weekend, too. All right, I'll take that one back,
yeah.
too.
God
damn Don Imus, you people.
Would you like to take that back as well?
I don't know. I won't. I'll stand by that.
Okay. Okay. We were talking.
Now, would you, Kevin, like to take that back? For demanding another Don Imus impersonation. You bastard.
What about Kung Fu Bear? What about that? Kung Fu Bear. This is odd, but Kung Fu Bear told a joke and then asked him to be put in the file himself.
Well, then obviously I think he would obviously say yes if he was
That's
here.
That's how I get I so see. Good with practice.
I see.
Okay.
Next, well, I'm going to take on a llama.
A llama?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Ooh, I don't know why you would do that.
Spiritual.
They spit.
He is the Dalai Lama.
No, don't do that. Come on.
Would
you like to take that back?
I hate to speak for the Kung Fu Bear, but if he was here, I think he would take that
you
back.
You think he would?
No, he volunteered it right there.
He did.
He told
that's
you to
true.
Put it in the file. It's pretty obvious.
And then there was the Adam Ant chunk.
Oh!
And I don't remember how this came up. Was he
because he's insane.
Insane.
He's in an insane asylum right now, poor Adam Ant.
Okay,
he's gone through he's bipolar. He's gone through a major breakdown, and he's currently he is in an institution for the mentally ill. And
did he think they were going to break him out?
Maybe.
What did he think?
So his thing is not, he's not a drugs or alcohol guy, right? He's just cuckoo, right?
No, he don't drink, he don't smoke.
What do we do?
Oh, I knew it was coming.
Damn it.
Put it in the file. That was an alley-oop. That was the alley-oop of death right there.
He's bipolar. Despite his health problems, apparently when he's on stage, he can still stand and deliver. So I think that's great that he's able to.
Oh, cow!
Kevin's pelting me now with things.
File.
As I should have been, by the way.
So the question is...
Would you like to take that back?
No way!
Bean?
No, I think that's fun.
That
I
strong.
Like that. I enjoyed that very much.
It continued.
He's not in the shape he used to be, though. No one wants to see him strip, that's for sure.
Oh.
He still does that ant music, though, right? That's still his thing? Vile.
Hey, it's tough being that guy. I mean, it's a dog eat dog world out there.
I'm gonna leave.
F you both so much.
Would you like to do that?
How about now? No way.
Kevin,
no,
you don't get it because those were all Adam Ant's song
titles. They were all titles of the songs that he recorded.
I do get that.
Very popular artist in the 80s.
I'm still asking.
Would you like to take that back?
Nope. Do you think we sounded desperate but not serious? Is that what you're suggesting?
Oh, it's always good to start the next file.
Hey, yeah, it's my song.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 5 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Win your tickets for the sold-out Weenie Roast this Saturday, June 5th, and backstage passes. Got them for you next hour coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of the Weenie Roast, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat with a little something special that he is donating for a good cause.
In case you don't win them, we are having an auction on the KevinandBean.com website. It is K&B Bay. It's an auction that the proceeds will go 100% to our friend Annabelle Ward and her daughter Ayanna. They were victims of a hit-and-run driver. Back in 2008, I witnessed that horrible accident, and they have fallen on some bad times. We're trying to raise some money to help them get along. All the proceeds will go to them. It is two tickets, my personal seats, to the Weenie Roast. So I'm not sure exactly where they are, but they're going to be like right up front in the orchestra section, usually center. I mean, they're good seats. You get party passes, VIP parking. You get to hang with us if you so choose. You don't have to. It's optional.
You can skip that part if you want.
Choose not to.
Get a couple t-shirts. I will personally buy you and your guest a couple cocktails in the VIP area. We'll hang out a little bit. It is a worthy cause. It's going to be a great show, but it's also a worthy cause. And so we've got the K&B Bay auction site right there on the website. You can click and it'll give you all the details how you can bid and stuff. But so far, we got a couple bids. $300 is the
Fantastic.
Highest bid right now. We'll be taking bids all the way up until through Friday morning, and then we'll announce who the winner is. So it's a good cause. So please give generously, won't you?
Is this the package we want?
I'm a little upset. I think it's time that we need to bring the cup home. We need to bring the championship home to the U.S. of A.
Wait,
Australia
one?
Has stolen our thunder, and I think we have to dedicate ourselves to bringing it back.
What cup?
You didn't see it over the weekend, the big story?
No.
Australia got the Guinness World Book of Records record?
Right.
For the single largest gathering of people dressed up as superheroes. Over the weekend. And I am furious.
They can have that.
That they would beat us in this record. We set the record. Now the Australians beat us.
Not me,
Here's a little piece of news from Melbourne.
The previous record stood at 1,091 superheroes. Today, 1,245 turned up.
We did it, people! How exciting! Yay!
That's a lot of Lycra.
That's a lot of Lycra.
Wow.
Come on, let's do it. Take it back. Let's take the championship home.
I'm saying that's a championship we don't need.
You.
That's fine.
Traitorous bastards.
I'm saying that's good.
Where's your patriotism?
Oh. F*** you.
We can easily get a couple thousand people together dressed up as superheroes. Right, what do you say?
But then
who do you want to be, Kevin? Aquaman? You'd make a good Aquaman. You've already got the blonde hair and everything. We just put you in the tights. What do you say? Give you a Triton to
Here's
carry
the
around?
Problem. If we did that, then we would have that record. And that's not
we
a positive.
We need to have the record.
Nope, we do not.
Oh, you guys are weak.
That is a good record to just let go.
I got to be with Kevin on this one. That sounds like something you and your podcast friends can take care of, Ralph.
No.
We don't want to have any part of
dare
that.
Dare you. Come on. Largest group of superheroes.
Yeah, that's
and
not...
And listen to how excited she was. People, we did it. All they did was put on tights and stand there. It's not like
but
they climbed a mountain.
Was very
right?
excited. We had the Flash was there, and Green Lantern, and Batman, and Spider-Man.
No.
And
I
Wonder
imagine
Woman.
They were.
Sonny,
that's a lot of Lycra.
They can have it. Congratulations.
The reporter, current stories. If all the superheroes are here, who's defending Melbourne?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Did Could you put that in the file?
Wow.
He did say that, yeah.
I don't think we can file a reporter, but I'd love to.
All right, let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office over the long holiday weekend, shall we? Shrek Forever After continues to be a smash hit. Over $43 million. Made it number one at the box office this weekend. Sex and the City 2, in its debut, had a little over $32 million, made it number two. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, that Kevin saw.
Sure couldn't get anyone to go with me, tell you that. Sure went by myself.
I would have gone with you.
You would have?
Yeah.
The reviews were not terrible.
No, they were not good.
They
weren't.
Yeah.
It was decent.
I would still like to check it out.
And what's her name? I don't know her name.
Gemma Atherton.
Is amazing. You could just look at her for 2 hours. You'd be fine.
She's stunning. She's a former Bond girl. She was in Clash of the Titans. Hot. Iron Man 2 was fourth. Robin Hood was fifth. Best worst movie, the documentary about Troll 2. Neil Bogg! Came in at number six. Letters to Juliet, just right. Date Night and MacGruber rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Sarah Ferguson, did you follow this story at all?
I just saw she was offering to meet the royalty for money.
She is the ex-wife of Prince Andrew over there in England. She's part of the royal family. She's going to be on Oprah today talking about what happened. She said that she would get a guy, as a sting operation, they've got her in video saying this, that she would get a guy access to Prince Andrew if he gave her $40,000.
Okay.
The royal family is not pleased with selling access to the royal family members at all. Here's the new thing. She's going to be on Oprah today talking about it. She said she was drunk. That's why it happened. If she had been sober,
really?
If she had been
good
sober,
excuse.
That never would have happened.
Wow.
So, got that going.
I love that excuse.
Yeah.
Let's start
and
using
they also,
that.
They also have a weird thing with ex-royal. I mean, technically, she's, you know, part of the family because they have kids and stuff, but she can't... Beyond something like Weight Watchers, which she does, what can she go out and do as a living?
She wrote a book.
Yeah. But she gets a stipend. They take care of her, even though she's divorced from the dude.
She said part of the reason she was trying to sell the access is because she's flat broke.
Wow.
Well, tell her to stop buying whatever it is she's buying. Save her money. Maybe she's living beyond her means.
Yeah, maybe so.
And I hate to admit this, but it looks like Bean may have a shot with Diana Agron. For those of you who don't know, she plays Quinn, the Cheerio on Glee.
So please.
Okay. The pregnant one?
Yeah.
I think Bean's got a shot.
Yeah, he's got a shot at
Santana's
anyone.
Santana's my girlfriend, though. You know that. It's actually Santana's the one I want. But what's going on with Quinn?
Santana.
You take whoever you can get,
don't,
dude.
No, Santana. She's not your
but
girlfriend.
But I love her. But
I'm telling
her.
You, just pull your head out of your ass from me.
I want to hear about
a legitimate shot at
all
Quinn.
Right, why? Why? What does she say?
Because she loves death.
You have your head up your ass.
Yes. I love death.
That's what...
That's his point!
Right, I'm just agreeing with you. I'm saying that's fantastic because I also love death.
She says her favorite place to visit is cemeteries.
Bean, too.
Okay, I'm
she
with her.
She says she finds peace among the headstones and will walk around and lay in them for hours on end.
Okay, right that's
on.
Nutty.
Love spending right time on. In cemeteries.
Just random?
Diana Agron, yes, any cemetery will do.
Hmm.
Just loves being around the death. Just thinks it's special.
Wow. My kind of woman.
I'm just saying... Bean's got a shot, because how many women, especially attractive ones, do you find who are that into death?
I have to talk to people who love to go to cemeteries.
And if she likes being around dead things, wait till Bean drops his pants.
It's the deadest of all.
She couldn't be happier. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Andy Griffith of the legendary Andy Griffith Show is 84 years old.
Woo!
Actor nice Morgan try. Freeman is 73 years old. Guitarist Ron Wood of the legendary Rolling Stones is 63. Heidi Klum, supermodel and wife to Seal, is 37 years old today. And singer Alanis Morissette is 36. We still don't have time, but we'll call India sometime today. And
I hope we have time
on
for
her
that.
Behalf.
She looked good on the Idol
That's
finale
great.
Last week, I thought, Ralph.
I did, too. She's a very attractive young lady. Remember, she was God in Dogma.
She was.
I can't look at her without thinking about God. Oh, God. When will she stop singing? That's what I usually say. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
First, let's talk about our favorite video that we have watched many times. It's Winnebago, man. Bean, you came across it again a couple of weeks ago.
Here's the thing, and here's how ignorant I am. Apparently, it's one of the first and biggest early YouTube videos from way back in 2005. I didn't know about it until a couple of weeks ago when YouTube was celebrating its five-year anniversary, and Conan O'Brien did a piece online where he counted down his favorite YouTube videos of all time. And there it was in all its glory, the Winnebago Man, and I have been so in love with it. And just by sheer – by the way, I'm the last person to this party because apparently it's been seen like 20 million times – by sheer coincidence, we just found out there's a documentary that has been made about the man in the Winnebago Man video. And we've got the director of that documentary on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, if you can believe it. And we'll tell you who Winnebago Man is if you don't know. Please welcome Ben Steinbauer to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ben, how are you?
Hey, good guys. Thanks for having me.
So was I accurate on what I said? 2005 is when the video hit YouTube, but the thing was actually recorded back in the 80s. Tell us the story of the Winnebago Man tape.
Well, it's been around since 89. Actually, 88 was when they were filming the commercial. And the crew realized that Jack Rebney had a little bit of a temper, as you've seen in the video.
Right.
And maybe didn't like him so much, so they kept the cameras rolling and captured all of these outtakes. And then when the shoot was over, they put together a three-minute sort of best of that they made VHS copies for their friends. And it was so funny that their friends made copies for their friends, who made copies for their friends, etc. And before long, this thing had spread across the country, and then, you know, in 2005 when YouTube and other video sharing sites came along, got uploaded, and now it's been seen by, you know, millions of people all over the world. And I became interested because nobody knew anything about the guy in the video.
He sure does seem angry. And you wonder if it's like, if that's his normal demeanor, or if he's having a particularly horrible day. He can't remember any of the copy, and he keeps cursing and yelling, and flies come in the shoot, and he's yelling at the flies. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense how mad he is.
But you guys love it and are fans of it,
yes,
as was I, because it's not like the Christian Bale meltdown or that unfortunate Alec Baldwin,
right,
you know, answering machine tape that he left. It was like Jack is mad at himself, but he's expressing, you know, his frustration in a way almost like a jazz soloist. Like,
That's a great way to describe it, man.
Yeah, nobody swears like he does. So I knew, seeing that clip, that he would be a great character.
Yeah, before we find out how you found him and what he's doing now and talk more about the documentary, so what is your read on it? Was, as Kevin suspected, just a guy having a particularly bad day, or is he an angry, foul-mouthed man like that all the time?
Well, I think if Jack were on the phone, he would say both. I mean, he was certainly having a bad day and was really frustrated, but the amazing thing about Jack is that no matter what he's doing, he expresses himself in this sort of Shakespearean way.
He's the best.
Whether it's swearing at himself while, you know, filming a Winnebago commercial in the late 80s in the summertime in Iowa, or if he's, you know, calling somebody to, like, cancel a magazine subscription, he always sort of conducts himself in a very formal, very astute manner.
Now, what does he do? Does he do commercials for a living? Is that his gig, or?
Well, I mean, that one maybe wasn't one for the real, you know, the Winnebago Man that you see.
No, I know, but
he did that to a point, but really what he had done up prior to that was that he was a CBS News producer, so he was always behind the camera. And that was one of his first times actually being on camera. And he actually finished that video for Winnebago and finished his contract, and everything went swimmingly from his perspective. So he was surprised, you know, that these outtakes existed and resurfaced 20 years later.
This is the voice of Ben Steinbauer on the phone, director, writer, producer of a new documentary called Winnebago Man about the guy in the commercial. It opens on July 9th. The website is winnebagoman.com. Now, Ben, you've done short films in the past. This is your feature directing debut. What made you think there was a full-length movie in catching up with a guy who did a funny, you know, outtake video 20 years ago?
Well, you know, I'm a curious person, you know, being a documentary filmmaker, you kind of have to be, and I started looking into this backstory when I realized that nobody knew anything about this guy, but everybody had seen this clip, and this is at the same time that, you know, Star Wars Kid was really popular, and
right.
Yeah.
Star Wars Kid's parents sued the people who put it online, you know, and settled out of court for a lot of money, and there was this whole notion developing around this YouTube celebrity or sort of, you know, viral video phenomenon where people didn't want to be known the way that they were being known.
It is fascinating. There's a whole nother documentary in exactly what you've described, which is that people who become famous through YouTube videos, whether they're the, you know, Tayson Day with the Chocolate Rain or the kid that Ellen just signed to a record label last week, Grayson Chance, I mean, they are just as famous as people who go out and do things, as real actors or real sports stars or celebrities or whatever, or writers. I mean, that's how you get into people's living rooms, is through internet sharing sites like right now. And I'm sure a lot of people are fascinated to find out the story you uncovered about the Winnebago Man.
Absolutely. But see, the difference is that Tay Zonde and the other kid that you mentioned are all people of the internet age and are trying to get notoriety.
Right.
Whereas Jack is 80 years old, you know, and he, unlike a lot of these these new web celebrities. He's not trying to parlay it into something else.
You're so trying to parlay it into something else, which we applaud.
Which we do.
Yeah.
Kevin, you have a clip from Winnebago Man.
Yes. This is from the documentary.
I mean, this guy's like a legend, basically. I mean.
Soon after I got the tape, I found out that I wasn't the only one fascinated with Jack Rebney.
I don't think I can remember the first time I've seen it, because I've seen it, you know, several hundred times, so.
You come upon someone that's seen it, and you speak the same language. You just start quoting, my mind is piece of this morning, I'm blinded by this hot light.
I'm blinded by that hot light.
It's a real moment, you know, like what you're seeing on that tape is probably the worst day of this guy's life.
I don't want any more bull any time during the day. From anyone. That includes me.
I love that. I love that he's yelling at himself for yelling while saying stop yelling. That's my favorite part.
Well, and I think that's the appeal of this thing. Like, when you hear, again, to go back to the Christian Bale rant, like, you know, I heard that once or twice and it was funny, but I don't rewatch that. I don't think people do the way that they rewatch the Winnebago Man clip. You know, there's something that you can empathize with in Jack's position where if he was just angry and just lashing out at everybody else, I don't think he would have that same reaction.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, who's on the phone with us here, Ben, he swears Winnebago Man might be his father. There's terrifying similarities between Kevin's broadcasting and the Winnebago Man.
I have meltdowns just like him where I forget everything I'm supposed to say, and it's ridiculous. You get so angry.
It's been really gratifying for us to show this movie all over the world now and have people come up and say to us after the screenings, they're like, oh, this guy reminds me exactly of my dad or my grandfather or my brother or whatever. So,
I don't want to give away too much because I am dying, in fact, to know what his reaction was when you contacted him and what he's doing now. But I'm going to save that experience for seeing the movie. Now, Winnebago Man is coming out on July 9th. This is in theaters, right, Ben?
Correct. It's in theaters. We open July 9th in New York, and then July 16th at the Sunset 5 there in L.A.
Fantastic. Well, we wish you the very best of luck with the documentary. You couldn't have picked a more entertaining subject. We're very excited about it. And thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ben.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Weenie Roast is this Saturday, sold out. We got tickets and backstage passes for you if you can conquer El Orquestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
All right, let's play the... All right, thank you, gentlemen. We've got... Mike, you guys ready to play the game?
Oh, the intro gets better every time.
It does, that's true.
Certainly gets longer. All right, here's
what she said.
The game is played, as I understand it. You guys, with your mouths, are going to be pretty much playing songs that are going to be performed on stage at the Weenie Roast this weekend, right?
That's right.
The difference here is there are no lyrics. This is the musical part.
The instrumental parts of songs from bands on the Weenie Roast lineup, and we are going to do them with our mouths.
And that's going to suck, but all you need to do is figure out what song they're trying to do, and you'll go into the drawing to win your tickets and backstage passes. Lisa will then do a drawing at the end. We'll take the calls in order, starting with line number one. Lewis joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lou, how are you, man?
How you doing?
You ready?
Good, thank you.
Orquestra de la Raza?
Orale.
All right, we're gonna need band name and song title.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ba 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 ba.
The Brian
Bean
Grade.
Nicely done. Hey guys, he got it.
He guessed already. You can stop, guys.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah, very well. That actually did sound very much like it. All right, congratulations, Lewis. You are in the drawing. Liza is next on line two. Hi, Liza. Now that you've seen how it's done, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right,
here we go.
Here's Orquestra de la Raza.
1, 2, 3, 4. Ba 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 ba.
At least you don't have to wait until they're done if you know.
Yeah. In fact, I wish you'd know.
Is that also Sublime?
No. Sorry.
It's not also Sublime.
It's Paramore Misery Business.
I sounded marginally like it if you're listening far enough away.
Yeah, if you're, like, say, in the next room.
Or exactly like it.
Or that, yeah. Danny
Dave,
is on the phone.
That kind of performance is not going to get Haley to take her top off for you. I'm sorry. All right, Danny, line three. You ready to play, son?
Yes, I am, sir.
Son. Listen up.
Son.
Son.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Bear.
Beach.
Yes, Evo Whippet is right.
There it is.
Nicely done.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
He guessed already. That one did sound like it. Alright, I think we have time for maybe one more. Maybe two if we're fast. Vicky, hi, you're on the air. You ready to
That's
play?
What she said.
Good luck, listen up.
1, 2, 3, 4. Bam 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 bam
bam bam bam bam bam bam bam bam bam bam
Okay, that's enough. Vicky, save us.
I only hope that someone's alarm went off right then.
Yeah, exactly. What's the answer, Vic?
I have no idea what that was.
No.
Oh, you struggled.
It's STP. That's the lead. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, that one did kind of sound like it. All right, let's do one more. Darren, line five. Hi, thank you for calling. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. You've got a chance to go in the drawing for the tickets and backstage passes. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
All here right, we go.
Dave, let's show off our soft side.
Let's go softer.
One,
soft
side. 2, 3, 4. Boom, ding, boom, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding,
ding, I don't even know.
I'm sorry. At least you guessed the band that's on the line. Thank God for that. No, that was this.
Old Hole.
Old Hole.
Wow, you don't have to call Lisa names. Come on.
Old Hole, Kevin.
All right, so is it Lewis or is it Danny? Who's joining us at the Weenie Roast with backstage passes?
Our winner is Lewis.
Yeah.
All right, Lewis.
First guy we talked to. Lewis, congratulations.
Yeah.
Tickets for the Weenie Roast, backstage passes. We will see you on Saturday.
Puede.
Si se puede.
Thank you, Orchestra.
El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
Alabama Hot Pocket.
Oh, no time for that right now. Hey, there's a guy running around a couple weekends ago at the Renaissance Fair in Southern California pretending to be Bono, a celebrity impersonator. We will discuss and talk to a woman who had her picture taken with him coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's Tuesday. A lot of great videos you might have missed over the holiday weekend, so we rounded them up for you with a little something we like to call the Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
The first one of is of Ozzy. And Ozzy goes to the Madame Tussaud. Is that how you say it? Tussaud?
Yes. Tussaud, right.
To the Wax Museum in New York and makes himself part of the exhibit. And then his fans walk up to take pictures with him and he turns and yells at them.
Pretty impressive.
It's very, very funny.
I'm here to scare the shit out of my fans!
So they all come up and they sit down thinking it's wax. And he just, they almost all just lose it.
It's a brilliant idea because let's face it, you're walking around a wax museum and the number one thing you're doing is going, hey, look how realistic that
right.
looks. Yes. And they see this thing that looks just like Ozzy and they have no reason to suspect it's not just a really good wax figure. So they go and sit down to take a picture with it. When Ozzy turns and starts talking to him, it freaks them out. It's so funny.
Some of them are visual, so we can't play audio. One is guy dodges car. And this is a guy walking down the sidewalk and a car literally comes out of nowhere down the sidewalk and he jumps out of the way. It looks like he hurts his foot and limps away, but It's almost superhuman how he got out of the way of the car. That's worth watching.
Wow.
It's a miracle. And he jumps into the street, and thank God there weren't actual cars in the street as well. So he survived the trip.
There's the beer catch and chug. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's at a baseball game.
No.
And the baseball player, you know, sometimes the balls they're warming up with, they'll throw into the stands.
Mm-hmm.
The guy catches the ball that got thrown into the stands in his beer cup and then chugs the rest of the beer.
Not bad.
It's really just ridiculous. And then there's Iron Man 3, Iron Baby. You have to watch that. This is done by somebody who really knows what they're doing. It's an actual baby in the full Iron Man suit taken on. It's really just an amazingly visual thing to
wow.
watch. We also have the reporter failing to break a window. Now, this is a story that a news reporter is doing about how easy it is for people to break into cars. All they need is a hammer. But
sure.
The window that he's trying to break to show us this won't break over and over again.
It takes a car prowler just a matter of seconds to get into your vehicle. All they need is a hammer. Make sure no one's around. Doors unlocked. Make sure no one's around. What's going on here? Make sure no one's around. What's the problem here? Make sure no one's around. How is that possible?
You can't get the window to break no matter what.
They've broken my window a bunch of
right.
times.
He can't
do it. Him.
Every time he swings harder and the hair, and it won't, the window will not break. And that's the only part of the story that's necessary because he's showing you how quickly that can happen. Eventually, awesome. The very last one, the window does not break, but it drops into the door like they rolled it down. I don't know what kind of car that is, but I want it. You've heard us on the air at times when we're losing our voice. And it's super annoying, and we know that.
Yeah, Bean and I were the most recent ones, I think.
But this dude is a horse race announcer, and he really should have just not come in that day.
On the inside, Lindell Dandy, and at the tail in the field, we're looking about 5 or 6 meters to Booberowie Boy. I think we're going here, in front, leading the way. It's Elia Rose, leads by 2 meters. No, I don't think I'll get through this. But Elia Rose wins.
He says, I don't think I'm going to get through this.
Second placing, we own a teach, and I think or on the inside, Cup and Eiffel.
Really, why show
why
up?
Show up
oh
that
my
day?
God.
At that point.
So it sounds like, Kevin, what you're saying is he's not only a horse announcer, he's a horse announcer.
Oh, my God.
File. You know, Bean, how you were talking about bras that make your breasts look two sizes bigger, two cup sizes
yes.
bigger.
Oh, yeah.
You were
yes.
talking about how that's false advertising.
It is. Well, it ought to be illegal.
It is. You won't be happy with Booty Pop then either, because Booty
What's
Pop.
Booty Pop?
This is panties that have implants in them.
Built-in pads.
Right, so that when you put on jeans, it makes your butt look great.
Now you can get that fabulous figure, that bootylicious, perky pop that all women want. Without lifting a finger.
You want your jeans to show off your booty. And with Booty Pop, every pair of jeans looks good.
The secret to Booty Pop is its strategically placed pads inside the panty that lift buttocks, leaving a sexier, more desirable booty instantly. Booty Pop turns a droopy derriere into a youthful-looking, head-turning, bootylicious booty.
Until you take it off, and then it's drooping again.
All right, first of all, Booty Pop sounds like a sex position, first of all.
Right.
Second of all, it's got to be a tiny market of women who want their asses to look bigger, right?
Yes.
I would imagine.
Can't imagine that's for many people.
Not a lot.
There are a lot of girls that are skinny, though, that don't have any butt.
Flat butt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They would want that. And finally, we always put in Jimmy Kimmel Live this week in unnecessary censorship. These are not curse words, although with the beeps that they put in, it sounds like they are. But they are not cursing and need no beeps.
This is this week in unnecessary censorship.
Jesse James says he wanted to get caught cheating by Sandra Bullock because f***ing her, he said, sickened him.
When I was approached by the people from American Cinematheque to f*** Matt Damon, I said, yeah, I'd love to f*** Matt Damon. You know, I'll f*** the hell out of Matt Damon. I'll f*** Matt Damon.
Yeah, when I woke up this morning, and I'm shitting, and Malia knocks on my bathroom door, and she peeks in her head, and she says, did you plug the hole yet, Daddy?
That's a good question.
Wow. Course,
that's the president talking about taking care of business in the bathroom.
Amazing.
Kevin and Bain's Internet Roundup.
Ralph, you're not wearing a Flyers jersey today, dude. What happened?
What is that?
I don't wear it after they lose.
Oh, superstition. I gotcha. Because I knew you were rocking it heavy end of last week.
I wear it game day and when they win.
So they lost 6-5 the first game.
Yeah.
And they lost 2-1.
2-1, yeah.
Yesterday. And then they play tomorrow night.
I'll tell you, it's been the teams
been a great
are
series.
Playing evenly through both of these games. It's just that's the way hockey is.
Who's your number 13? That guy is ugly.
Oh, Dan Carcillo, car bomb.
That guy literally just goes out to destroy human beings.
He serves one purpose.
That's his only goal.
Which is just to hit.
He's a wrecking ball.
That's all he does.
He hit one of his own players, knocked him right on his ass.
Yeah, him and Jeff Carter were both coming for the same guy who had the puck, and the guy stepped to the side, and they ran into each other.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a very exciting series. I'm feeling bad that it's you got a little bit of an uphill climb at this point, but your Flyers, you know what? They've been out before.
They've been very close games, so it's not like they're getting blown out, and they had a strong third period. They're going back to Philly for the next two games, so if they can even it up at 2-2, then all's good. So we'll have to wait and see what happens on Wednesday and Friday.
All right, we'll talk about a Bono impersonator roaming the Southland in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph has the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Remember when Kevin used to go around pretending he was Bono?
How dare you?
Yeah. Oh, hello, I'm Bono. Oh, yeah, how about me? It's horrible. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Shrek Forever After made another $43.3 million, making it number one. Sex and the City 2, which everyone thought would be its biggest competition. Wasn't that big. $32 million made it number two at the box office in his debut weekend. Prince of Persia was third. Iron Man 2 came in at number four. Then Robin Hood. The best, worst movie. Documentary about one of our favorite films, Troll 2. In its debut weekend nationwide, made $6 million at the box office this weekend.
Very impressive.
Very impressive for a little documentary. Letters to Juliet was seventh. Just Right was eighth. Date Night and MacGruber rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. CTV, speaking of hockey and Canadians, they've got an entertainment show there on CTV, which is the Canadian television network. It's an entertainment show, and they just had an interview with Bombshell McGee, her first Canadian interview. And I was watching a piece of it earlier. I wanted to bring in a little for you, because I thought it was fascinating how deluded this broad is.
This is the girl that Jesse James...
Yeah.
This girl that he cheated on Sandra Bullock with this girl. And famously, she is the heavily tattooed girl who wore the Nazi, the SS uniform in that photo shoot.
Where was that?
The reason she is reared her ugly head again is because she is now the spokesperson for AshleyMadison.com.
Okay.
Excellent.
Which you may or may not know is a website for people who are married looking to cheat, to meet people to cheat with on. It's a dating website for cheaters, basically. She's now their spokesperson. Charming young flower that she is.
Sure.
So she's doing this publicity tour, and they asked her in this Canadian interview, first of all, how do you justify putting on a Nazi uniform for a photo shoot?
You don't believe wearing a Nazi costume indicates racism? No, not racism. Anti-Semitism, yes. If that was the intention of putting the costume on. Anti-Semitism is prejudice against Jews, which is actually racism. Oh, okay. Well, that's your view on that. I don't see it that way.
Well, that's your opinion.
What?
That's your opinion if you think anti-Semitism is also racism.
She's fine with anti-Semitism?
Well, it is, really. Well, that's your viewpoint. What do you mean by naked?
Exactly. Wow.
And so
odd.
She says that Sandra Bullock should be thankful to her.
Because
she came forward and said that Jesse James was cheating. And so really she should thank her for busting that wide open so she knew about the affair.
But what about the fact when she was sleeping with him? What about that part?
Should she be thankful for that part too?
That part too?
Well, because she's the spokesperson of AshleyMadison.com, that begs the question, are you condoning affairs? This was an interesting exchange.
Do you support extramarital relationships? I support them, yes. What's the bigger lie? That he lied to you or that he lied to her? I mean, bigger lie isn't what? You know, it's in your endorsement of Ashley Madison. The man took the vow. That's his business, what he has going on with his wife, with his family. I'm going into it as a single person.
So there you go.
She's cool.
She's not to blame. She's good.
All right.
Let me ask you this question. I don't know how much time, but Lisa, let's say you're a woman, okay?
Yeah. Would it be better? I'm with you.
Would it be better not to know and live happily ever after, or would it be better to know and have your marriage break up because now at least you're being honest?
You know, if it's a one night, it's always what we're talking about. If it's a one night stand and he made a mistake and that's that, I'd rather not know. If it's an ongoing affair, yeah.
What if it's a one night stand with a tattooed Nazi?
Yeah, that might be a problem.
Is that a deal breaker?
A little bit of a problem.
I'll tell you, you can confound any conversation just by throwing Nazis into
it,
I've always found. It always makes the quandary a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
You add the Nazis, you're stirring up the drink.
A lot.
For some reason. A quick story here.
Sad news, director Guillermo del Toro has quit the Hobbit films.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
That's bad.
He was going to direct for producer Peter Jackson, who was developing the Hobbit two-part movie as a follow-up to his trilogy of the Lord of the Rings books, of course based on the J.R.R. Tolkien book, The Hobbit. But here's the thing. The rights are largely owned by MGM, which, as we know by now, with the Bond situation, they are in serious economic difficulties, and so they're having a hard time getting these projects greenlit.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Del Toro has spent the past 2 years developing these films, but he can't get a start date to start filming, and he's like, look, I got to move on to
do something else.
So it's an amicable separation, but still sad news that Guillermo del Toro is not going to be directing the Hobbit films, which everyone was kind of looking forward to because he's a great director, especially with visuals. So they're going to have to look for a new director, or is still a possibility that Peter Jackson may step in and direct himself.
That'd be all right.
If they can get the thing up and running. So we'll have to wait a little bit longer for those Hobbit movies.
I remember when we had Guillermo in our studio, it was within a couple of weeks of when he was packing up his family and moving to New Zealand, where he planned to be down there for, you know, a couple of years working on this. So, wow, what a turn of events, huh?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Andy Griffith is 84 years old today. Morgan Freeman turns 73. Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Who's that for? Morgan Freeman? Ron Wood?
No, Ron Wood.
Okay.
That's deserved.
I don't know. We were looking at how attractive men were on our list.
But Mike's got the gog is what's going on there.
Yeah, maybe keep Mike away from the buttons. We'll be better off.
Back off.
63 years old today. Heidi Klum is 37. And Alanis Morissette is 36. She, of course, had that famous song, Thank You, India. So, well, we got a little moment here.
We don't...
Bean, if you want to take
that.
Hello, is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yay!
You know, in honor of Alanis on her birthday. Right?
Come on, Kevin. That's
on,
funny.
Kevin.
That wasn't funny 20 years ago when we did it.
Wow, man. You changed.
Who hurt you?
You both hurt me right now.
Alanis is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Got an email at the end of last week that I thought was fascinating. And what a lucky Kevin and Bean listener Haley is, because she was hanging out with Bono over the weekend.
What?
Well, yeah, she was hanging out with Bono from U2.
That's not possible. He's had emergency back surgery in Germany. He's
No. She met this guy at the Renaissance Fair, and he was Bono. So we wanted to find out what the story was. So we invited Haley to join us on the show. Hi, Haley. How are you, my dear?
Hi, guys. How are you? Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
We're doing great. You were very excited when you emailed, but also very upset by the lies that The Edge was spouting on our program last week. What happened?
Okay, first of all, Bean, why don't you just take away my birthday? I know that this is crazy. I emailed you guys because Ralph did a segment about the fact that it was all over the news that Bono had emergency back surgery.
Right, yes.
He was postponing the concert and everything.
Right.
Well, I happen to work the fair.
The Renaissance
the Fair. You mean the Renaissance Fair, right?
I do mean the Renaissance Fair.
All right.
Huzzah.
huzzah. And it was closing weekend. I'm walking backstage, and there's a limo there. And we've had celebrities there before. I mean, the Playboy Bunnies, along with Hugh Hefner, were there and a couple years back and stuff like that. So it's not uncommon. So I saw the limo, and I was like, oh, I wonder who's here. And they go, well, look who's on the registration, because any celebrity has to be cleared to be here.
Sure.
Except Bono.
They won't just let anyone show up.
No, not the Renaissance Fair.
Right.
You want to keep the riffraff out.
You try to keep the 21st century out is what you try to keep. All right,
thanks,
so we don't have a lot of time, Haley, but so you find out that it's Bono. You see his limo there, and then you see Bono himself. Now, you went up and talked to him and got a picture, right?
I did, and of course I was like, you know, it probably isn't him, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't him, it was his exact doppelganger. He had every single sign of him. He had the sunglasses. He had the one bracelet, which I think to me was kind of the biggest kicker, the charity that he worked for, the white bracelet.
Isn't that
stuff
all
you can
wait
buy.
A minute. I think the one campaign is strictly a red color. Unless I misunderstand it. I mean, I think the wristbands are red, the iPods are red.
I didn't even look at the bracelet. I just looked at the fact that I look more like Bono than this guy. That's what tipped me off. So what happened is Haley sent the photo and said, "Why Bono's reps are liars. Why are they reporting this bogus story about the back surgery? Look, here's a picture of me that I took with him 2 days ago." And
this
Haley's accusing me. Haley's accusing me of being mean, but I wrote back and I wasn't mean at all. I just, because I wasn't sure whether she was kidding or not. I said, "Look, I don't know if you're joking or not, but this guy doesn't look anything like Bono." And then she really got upset with me as if I were somehow, you know, telling her the Santa Claus myth.
No. Of course, tone of voice is can't. I was like, in my head, I was like, Bean, come on. You have to back me up. I adore you. I'm always on your side on the show.
We could back you up, except for the fact that the photos obviously show this guy is not Bono.
He's not Bono at all. Right.
All right. Here's number one. Number one is we heard from the record company that The Edge wanted to talk to us. He called. He told us himself that Bono had back surgery. This is how it happened, blah, blah, blah. So we know that already.
That's
going
a pretty
in.
Reputable source, hearing right. from a guy in the band that Bono really had. Okay.
So then you send us a photo of a guy who Sal Masekela looks more like Bono than this guy. I mean, he's...
If you had said, "I met Fat Patrick Swayze backstage at the Renaissance Fair," then I would have said, "Yes, absolutely. Look at that. It's Fat Patrick Swayze."
No, absolutely. Look, I am totally open to being like, "Oh my gosh, I was totally duped."
No one's ever been more duped than you were right then.
I'm just saying.
Look, Haley, here's the thing, sweetheart, and I'm glad that you sent this email to us, but here's what I'm thinking. I completely understand why you got caught up in the moment, and this guy does, you know, he's going out of his way to try to look like Bono, and he's got the limo and everything. Like, I understand why at the moment you thought, oh my God, maybe that's Bono.
But Bean, he had sunglasses, don't you see? He had sunglasses.
But once you drove away from the Renaissance Fair and put back on normal clothes and then stopped and thought about it, you had to go, "Well, there's no way that was Bono because obviously he just had back surgery and he's in Europe." I mean, that should have ended it.
That's a lie, Bean.
What I'm saying is in the cold, harsh daylight, that should have ended your fantasy that it might be Bono. And that's why it was so hilarious to me that you kept emailing me over and over again trying to get me to back you up when it was so clearly not him. That's all. It just struck me as very funny.
Fair enough. That's totally fine. I'm sorry, okay, fine, I'm just not gonna say anything.
Here's what I like. I like that Bean thinks that she's gonna go to the Renaissance Fair and then take off those clothes and be normal.
Well, maybe that's the problem here.
I like the part of the email that said, Bono is hitting all the girls at the Renaissance Fair. I said, Bono needs to troll for women backstage at the Renaissance Fair. Come on, none of this makes sense.
There are guys that are into big boobs, let's be honest, and that's what the Ren Fair has.
Yeah, Bono can't find them except at the Renaissance Fair. You're right, Kevin.
Hi, Ralph. How are you?
Hi there, Haley.
Haley, you didn't sleep with the Bono impersonator, though, right?
No.
Okay.
Oh,
good. Well,
stop
that's probably why he was there.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It happened in the limo. Admit it. You didn't even wait to get home.
limo doth be rocking, do not cometh a knocking.
Hey, Fat Patrick Swayze, come on, let's go. Let's get in your limo.
Oh, Haley, you're awesome. Too much. Thank you very much for sending us the email. We appreciate talking to you, all right?
Thank you so much for listening. I would rather be told the truth by anybody else but you guys.
You rule, and you're crazy.
All right. I love you guys.
All right.
Wow.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye,
Haley.
Wow, she's deluded.
This dude is not Bono. That's what we're saying. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:41.
Don't Bogart that joint,
no, we just
my
came back to work
friend.
Today.
What?
Just came back to work
it's
today.
Not possible.
Had yesterday off?
Nope.
Nice short week. It's already Tuesday.
Oh.
Good times.
Oh. You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show. It is Tuesday. Ralph is here for our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What you talking about?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I do want to give you a heads up. Something we kicked off today, we're doing a very special auction over on K&B Bay, which, of course, is our version of eBay at kevinandbean.com. It is a charity auction. All the benefits, not the benefits, the proceeds, will go towards helping out our friend Annabelle Ward and her young daughter, Ayanna, who are, of course, hit-and-run victims. Back in 2008, I witnessed the accident myself. I've been keeping in touch with Annabelle. Things have not been going well for her and her little girl, so we're trying to raise some money to keep them afloat until she can get the medical help she needs to heal and to get back to be able to walk and be able to work again.
So what we're doing is we're auctioning off my personal Weenie Roast tickets. These are the seats that I would be using if I were going to sit in the amphitheater. You will get those tickets. I can't tell you exactly where they are, but I can promise you they're great seats. You get a couple of VIP party passes. You get VIP parking. You get a pair of Weenie Roast t-shirts. And you do have to meet the Kevin and Bean Morning Show.
That's you don't have to. That's optional.
I think you should have to. I think you have to give till it hurts. Wow. I think it's one of those charity things where you have to make a sacrifice.
But the sacrifice is the money they pay, but they can write it off. But then they don't have to.
Can't write us off. Can't write us meeting us off. That you have to live with forever.
I'm just saying.
No, that's optional, of course.
So tickets, backstage passes,
yes,
parking,
yes,
t-shirts,
yes,
and hang with the Kevin and Bean Show. All of that included in the auction, and the money all goes to Annabelle.
Exactly. So if you go to kevinandbean.com, you can see all the details, and we're taking your bids there. So far, the high bid, I think, is $300, but we'll be taking bids all week long, and then Friday morning, we'll announce the big winner and present them with their
tickets. That's a low price!
That is a low price.
By the way, I want to thank again Jason, who we had on the air last week from the scooter store. Ralph, you remember, he called in and generously offered to donate a scooter for Annabelle because she had a lot of mobility problems with what happened to her legs. He went over, dropped off her scooter for her on Friday, sent a very nice note this morning saying what a delightful lady she is, and he's so happy to have met her, and he's glad to be able to participate. And we just can't thank Jason and everybody who has stepped to the plate to kind of help out Annabelle for this terrible situation completely out of her control. It really has been very heartwarming for us, but even more so for her, who has, as you explained last week, she wasn't sure how she was going to go on with the way things were going in her life. So
we've given her hope now, and that's a big plus for her. And also, if you don't want to bid on the tickets, if you already have tickets or something, we're still accepting donations over at her PayPal account, which you also can find on the website. So feel free to give there, too, if you'd like. I would like to make an apology and a correction.
Oh.
Here's the thing. I have a service that provides me with a lot of the entertainment news that I do.
And you found them to be completely reliable?
Here's the thing. I would say less than completely reliable.
Not completely reliable.
I would say occasionally
what percentage?
Off the mark.
Would you say
I'd say I got about a
99%
chance of getting anything right that I'd read from this particular service. Now, that they do got a lot of, there's a lot of good stuff in here.
Right.
But occasionally a glaring error will present itself, and I will read it as if it's a fact, and in actuality, it is not the
case.
But
you continue to lean on that service.
Okay, good.
Who's the bigger idiot? The people writing it or the guy reading it? That's a good question. Here's the thing I'd like to correct. Best worst movie, although still one of our favorite movies of the year. It's a great documentary.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's not sixth in the top 10 movies this weekend.
Oh, that's not.
That seemed unlikely, but we were all
impressed. I was shocked.
It said here on the list that it made $6 million over the weekend.
Right.
That number is off by around $5,995,000.
We spent all this time talking about how crazy it was that it made that much money.
It was so crazy. It was as if Bono was backstage at a Renaissance fair.
Right. So they made $100,000?
How much did they make, Ralph?
Not
come on.
We had about $5,000.
Wow! That's a low price!
In box office receipts. Aww. They were about 61st this weekend in terms of money-making films.
Yeah. That's a sizable discrepancy.
That's not just 1-0, by the way. That's a lot of... Yeah. That's a huge difference.
That's a big difference.
What was number six? You know?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm going to say Letters to Juliet.
So you're saying instead of $6 million, it got $5,000?
Yeah.
All right.
It's only in two theaters. Right now. I believe it's one here in Los Angeles,
you're
another
the least
one in New York.
Reliable entertainment source
ever. So I would like to make a quick correction and apologize to How I Trained My Dragon or whatever that movie is, which is actually on the list. That's 10th on the list. Everything else moves up a slot. So,
wow, that's great.
My apologies. Wishful thinking on my part that best worst movie, the documentary.
We're all
so
shocked
well.
And so pleasant.
And we were so pleased.
Surprised. And by the way, you did it three times.
Yeah.
How did you just now find out?
Well, because
I bought it every time, too, by the way.
Finally clued me in, said, I did a little research. Just thought you might want to know. It came in 61st this weekend.
Not sixth.
Per se.
Oh, so close.
All right.
So there you go.
It's a little off.
Yeah. Shrek Forever After was number one at the box office. Sex and the City 2 came in at number two. Then Prince of Persia.
Iron Man.
See? And look, do it or don't do it. But
I know,
can't.
Yeah.
I can't play like this.
I thought it was Mike's job.
Problem.
I was waiting for him.
Well, let him do it or not.
Iron Man 2 was fourth. Robin Hood was fifth.
Then
best worst movie came in number six.
It didn't. It was 61st.
That's right. Now, Letters to Juliet was sixth. Then Just Right, Date Night, MacGruber, and How to Train Your Dragon. That's your top 10 at the box office this week.
How does that mistake ever get made?
I have no idea. That's but great. There will be a strongly worded letter coming to the people who do this
no, there
stuff.
Won't.
No. Because I really don't care that much. That's you the don't. Thing about being me.
You don't care.
I do not sweat it.
And you've trained yourself. But a lot of that's going to be wrong.
That's right. Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Apparently is really straightened up her act. Apparently she's not drinking anymore.
Well, she's got the bracelet on. She
can't.
That's
right. That's true. She does have an alcohol monitoring bracelet on, and she cannot drink.
Is that true, or should we double check that?
No, that's absolutely true.
All right.
Apparently now she's addicted to coffee, Red Bull, Diet Coke, and cigarettes. That's all she's doing these days. So she won't go to prison, but she will burst into flames if she keeps up that particular regimen. Her metabolism will just engulf herself.
Yeah, that won't be good.
She has asked Chanel if they would provide some accoutrement to decorate her bracelet so that when she goes out to fancy places, it's all snazzy and has rhinestones and stickers and whatnot on it.
All Chanel'd up?
Yeah, all Chanel'd up.
Do they do that?
They
kind of.
I don't know if they have a special kit that goes for the scram bracelet.
They bedazzle it? What do they do?
But here's the thing. If you alter the bracelet in any way, that is an offense. And you could possibly go to jail if you alter the bracelet. So perhaps she shouldn't be doing that. But I just want you to know, she has stopped drinking for the time being. So,
all right.
Got that going for her. Bret Michaels. Of course, lead singer for Poison. Word is from Bret himself that he could be the new judge on American Idol. You should get a backup just in case American Idol. I'm saying, in case you go
start
that direction
right away.
You might want to get somebody with less holes in their hearts and bleeding in the brain, I would suggest. He said he would love to do it. He's the man for the job.
Oh, is he just throwing his name out there?
No, he says apparently there's been conversations.
Oh, no,
because he did do the finale. You know, he appeared on stage singing Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Right.
And there have been conversations that he is in the running to be the new judge on American Idol.
Look, I think he'd be fine. But I also
strokes.
I also don't think he's Simon. That's for sure. He doesn't fill that.
No one is Simon.
That's the problem. No one is.
So I don't know if he's the right choice, but I don't know who would be the right choice. Really?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I mean, I know Dennis Hopper and Gary Coleman were in the running, but
not so much.
No. All right, Linkletter, how do you feel about that? See if Psycho Michael will do an impression. I just throw it out there.
Doesn't, no.
No, he doesn't. Ah! Don't Bogart that joint.
What else you got there, Ralph? Anything?
I'm looking at some stuff here. Like, I don't have a lot of time. I thought I'd just play. We have that Teal of Tequila song. Let's just go out on that because it's pretty strong. Teal of Tequila, of course, announced she wants to be on Celebrity Rehab, which is now delayed because they can't find enough celebrities to get clean in front of the cameras.
In front of the cameras, right.
So we're going to have to wait and see. But her music career is still going strong, she wants everyone to know.
Was it ever going strong?
Nope. Her new single will be dropping on the 7th of June, but she wanted to give everyone just a sneak peek. If you wanted to hear her new song, I Love My DJ, here's a little taste of Teal of Tequila's new song.
Cream in the middle like an Oreo. Got you on rock like the rodeo. Drop like stock, you can check the portfolio. Cause I pop like a Desert E44. Views on my jock like, hey, where shorty go? Teal over there in the booth, you know how it goes. I rock the DJ.
What the hell was that?
Yeah.
One of the worst I've ever heard. I hate you so much, I want to shoot you in your face.
Honey, I like you, but you're just not right for this competition.
Yo, dog, I gotta tell you, for me, man, that was not even half good, dude.
That's a good point.
She does music that sounds like English is her second language.
Yeah.
Sounds like she's doing it phonetically, almost.
This song is whack.
Commitment to it. I think Wing would do a better job with that song.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that's true.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Andy Griffith of the famous Andy Griffith Show. Also, Matlock, he is 84 years old today. Morgan Freeman is 73 years old. Ron Wood, guitarist of the Rolling Stones, turned 63. Heidi Klum, model and wife of Seal, she is 37. And singer Alanis Morissette celebrates her 36th birthday today.
Oh, how dare you?
Are you going to comment on Alanis like that? She's not gong-worthy. She's attractive. I think she's sexy.
I think he hit the bell
more
than once.
Very sexy.
But
did he hit the bell more than once?
Deserve the gun.
All right.
Come on.
All right. I take it back.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We are going to talk about real-life superheroes, which is a TV show that's on tonight. It looks odd. People are climbing buildings, and and then they call themselves Spider-Man.
Yes.
That's happening. That's a show on tonight. We're going to talk about celebrity impersonators, people who go to, say, the Ren Fair and say that they're Bono. Perhaps that fat dude that doesn't look anything like Bono will call tomorrow morning. We also have the creator of the Human Centipede game.
How about that?
Oh, really?
And we've got Omar's Glee cap as tonight as another all-new Glee. Omar hates it with an unnatural cartoon hatred, so we have him watch it and bring in clips and give us a review. So that's all tomorrow morning, along with your tickets to the Weenie Roast and backstage passes on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Hey, since Ralph is just making stuff up, let's have President Obama and Angelina Jolie on the program tomorrow, too, while we're at
it. Good enough.
Up.
How dare you, sir.
Kat Corbett's next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including that great new song from a silent film called You Will Leave a Mark. Stick
it's
around
good
if you haven't
music
heard it.
Music and stick all, around. I think you'll like it.
Also, The Killers, Nirvana, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers next on K-Rock.